This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show!
Spoiler alert! What Did You Watch This Week is a candid discussion about recent movies and TV shows, and it may contain spoilers if you haven't watched them yet. Listen at your own risk.
Episode number 198. That's a big number.
It is.
What did you watch this week? This is Mike.
It's a little bit bigger than last week's number of 197.
It's exactly one greater. So I'll just start out by saying it. I have not had a chance to watch Doctor Who from last night. Super Bowl was on, and then training class I was teaching got out late, and then there was just a domino effect on my son's first wrestling practice and the parents' meeting and everything else, and I just couldn't squeeze it in.
Well, I at least appreciate the text heads up so that I didn't rush home after work and watch it.
I figured you watched it last night. I apologize. I know you're not a sports guy.
Correct.
So I figured you would have watched it last night when it was on.
I was thrilled that the Super Bowl happened last night.
Why?
Because now it's fucking over, and they can stop preempting all my goddamn shows.
Well,
fucking stupid football.
Well, so the XFL starts next week on Fox, but it's on Saturdays, so it won't affect Sunday's lineup.
Yeah, why is the Super Bowl still on Sundays?
Because it's Super Bowl Sunday. It just always has been.
Yeah, why is it on Sundays, though? Everybody parties their ass off and then drags their asses hungover to work the next day.
It's just traditionally football's on Sunday.
Yeah.
I'm not disagreeing with you. I get the concept you're going behind, and I can get behind it.
I think they need to rework
when this. The Patriots are in the Super Bowl in the New England area, the joke is more people call it sick the day after Super Bowl than any other normal day of the year.
Yeah, it's pretty much expected.
Yeah. So, but not this year.
No.
They weren't in it.
Nope. They weren't invited.
But anyhow, otherwise, I did manage to watch some stuff.
Okay. Like what? What you got?
I watched all three episodes of Perfect Harmony.
Oh, good. So you're all caught up?
I am. Is that like a season finale, the way that ended?
It might have been, because I know that they didn't come on this week or last week, I believe.
I had three episodes to watch, though.
Yeah, and it culminated at regionals.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, I had the one where Frohickey's there.
Yes.
And he doesn't have the full lisp going on, so it seems wrong.
No, but it's because he doesn't have that in real life.
Yeah.
He just does that.
And that's not the way. His name's not Frohickey. What's his name?
No.
Frohickey, that's the guy. That's the character's name from The Lone Gunman on The X-Files.
I was wondering where you're going with that.
Yeah.
No. God, what is his name? I want to say Stuart, but it's not.
No, it's not. But what's he tell Siri to do?
Yeah.
And it's hilarious.
Kripke. Very Kripke.
There you go. Frohickey, Kripke, close, right?
Yep.
Yeah, then the regionals, and she's got the offer, the job in Lexington.
Yep. I think that was, like, the season finale, because I can't imagine that they're going to be coming back from that. I mean, it would be a new season, too. But shows like that tend to end on cliffhangers.
Yeah.
The little, what would you call them? Like the half hour comedies?
Yeah.
You know, the situational comedies or sitcoms, if you will.
I mean, is that what that means?
I guess so.
No.
Yeah. No, that was it for season one. Regionals was the last one.
It does seem, I mean, technically it's a cliffhanger.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause we don't know if she's going to take a job and, you know, we don't know what's going to happen to the rest of the team.
But do we care?
If it didn't come back, I wouldn't shed a tear.
That's the thing, yeah.
I'd watch it again if it came back. Some of the dialogue is fun.
Yeah, there's like when they're doing the praise-a-thon to raise money, and they just want, as they put it, the big guy to say my name.
Yeah.
And say my name
in a
disapproving tone. Yeah.
Yep.
That was funny.
Caught up on Superstore. Up to and including Sandra's wedding.
Sandra's wedding, yep.
Not the most annoying episode this season.
You know, really, it actually was good. Like, it was one of the better episodes, I thought. I like Dina's worried that the girls here is going to sabotage everything.
And then she was.
Her sabotage was she was going to – well, first she was going to put laxatives in the cupcakes, and only the party bus driver ate one. Yep. And then she's going to kill her cat. She's going to throw her cat from the cage off the balcony. It's like a 15-foot drop. And I love how Dina's like, that wouldn't kill the cat.
Yeah.
Listen, you know, like her – like
the whole bottom is rubberized.
Yeah. Yeah. And the worst is because it's going to hurt it, but it's not going to die. Da-da-da-da.
Yep.
It was – I don't know.
Yeah, because Carol's still a little psycho over the whole thing. Amy was actually tolerable because she was the old Amy, you know, she had to do things to, you know, because Sandra's out there hauling chairs around.
She was the take charge Amy who was the boss of the store, before she was the boss of the store.
Exactly.
And that's why she wasn't as overbearing. I like, when Glenn, is just freaking out about the vows because it can't be religious, but they can't make it religious. But I mean, what else is it going to be? It's a wedding,
right?
And Garrett's like, well, he just tells this little anecdote of what he's going to say about how they have this sweatshirt with a crab on it that one of them has to wear when they're feeling crabby, and you know, and the only time he puts it on is when she's out of town, when Sandra's out of town. And Garrett and Glenn basically shits all over that.
Yeah, steals it from him.
And Garrett is feeling self-conscious about it. And then when Glenn's failing miserably at being the doing the ceremony, he busts out Garrett's anecdote and it kills.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. So then Garrett has to come up with something else for his best man speech. So he completely makes up stories based on movies.
Yeah. Just blatantly makes it up. And
he's like, we went to a rodeo and we did this and we did that. And Jerry's like,
Jerry's just like, I mean, I don't remember it, but I guess we did all that. Yep. Welcome to my life, huh?
Exactly.
So, Sandra, welcome to Jerry's life.
And Jonah didn't get much time on the stage, so he was tolerable.
Well, he did have Jonah. He slid one of the caterers his business card about demanding more wages, and so they all walked out.
Yep. Yeah, which was actually the most amusing thing he's done in forever.
Yes.
Mateo's ankle monitor was running low on batteries, and he had to charge it up himself, which involved going in the back room and sitting there. And
next to a plug.
Yeah, told Amy's brother to just go out and enjoy himself, so he went and got him an extension cord.
Yeah.
Aww.
I like it when Amy's brother's like, well, I'll just sit here with you. This seems like fun. And Shine's like, really? Because this seems like a really bad place to be. I mean, the party is literally out in the other room where the music and food and dancing is.
Yeah, she's not very good at being a person. Oh,
I like it when Amy tells Cheyenne to do something, like with the DJ or something like that. And she's like, oh, I'm sorry, I completely forgot, and runs off. And Joe's like, did you tell her to do that earlier? No, this is the first time. Yeah, so it was the least offendable episode.
Yeah. Yep. I thought it was pretty enjoyable.
Schooled.
Schooled was Titanic. You knew this had to be coming because, it was the 90-somethings.
Yeah. 1990-something, and Titanic, you're the king of the world. But I did not see coming, and I was completely shocked by it all, but I absolutely loved the revelation that Titanic and The Fifth Element are essentially almost the same movie.
Yeah.
I loved that. I also love the science teacher. I can't think of her name, but her showing the test that Jack Tolik could fit on the door.
And like four other people could have fit on there.
Four other people could have fit on the door with him.
Yeah.
Yeah. And she just let him freeze to death and die. Exactly. I mean, yeah.
And then the fact that she threw away the necklace and the other guy there, he's like, you know, that was just wasteful. Oh, she was letting go of the past. It was $100,000. Or 100 million or whatever. You know, it was ridiculous.
I like how CB just can't get into Titanic. He's like, this isn't a romance movie. This is dumb. And then he watches The Fifth Element and he's bawling his eyes out.
Because it's a true.
Yeah.
And then Glasgow institutes a new policy at the school. No more jacking.
Oh, my God. I laughed and laughed and laughed.
Jack from, doing I'm the king of the world and people are getting injured. So he's telling them, no more jacking. Hey, you. No jacking off up there. No jacking over there. And yeah. Miller, of course, gets in on it, and he tells him he can't jack around here either. And
yeah, he gets on the PA. No jacking in the bathroom. No jacking in the gym. Yep. No jacking in the parking lot.
This is a jack free zone.
Yeah, that was fucking hilarious.
It was well done.
Like I said, I already said that part. The fifth L. Oh yeah, no. What's her name? Lainey.
Mm-hmm.
Realizing that. CB has a crush on her.
Yes.
And she's finally, the girl that he can't get over. Yes. Yeah.
But now what's going to happen is she's going to start reevaluating the Barry and CB thing, and he's going to get over her.
Yeah.
And find somebody else. That's my prediction, is that, you know, within the next episode or so, we're going to meet somebody new as a love interest for him, who's going to be right up his alley, and suddenly Lainey's going to become jealous because that's how these things work.
So that's how these things work. Pardon. I can't remember if I even watched The Good Doctor this week, because I know you were off to it.
Yeah, I'm done. I'm done with The Good Doctor.
And I can't remember if I threw it on to have it while I did some schoolwork or not. I got to look up and see if the episode was even about.
Okay.
Excuse me.
Oh.
I'm having some pretty severe heartburn right now. I apologize.
I think this was the episode, something about Claire and her mother in a coma or ODing her mother or something. You know, the blonde doctor there. And I think Sean had a tantrum about something, because he does every episode.
No, Sean's biggest thing this episode was trying to make his girlfriend orgasm. He couldn't do it.
Imagine that.
He was determined to make it happen. And, of course, he does by the end of the episode.
Of course he does.
It's
that easy.
No, blonde doctor, that's right. Her mom is some famous artist, but she's got some brain tumor gimmick thing going on. And if she has it removed, then she'll lose her ability to do art and yada, 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 and mommy doesn't love me and treats me like shit. And
gotcha.
Yada, 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 and belittles everything I do. So.
Yep.
Yeah, it wasn't really memorable.
New Amsterdam?
I think I watched that one. Is this the one where the computers are down?
Yes.
Yeah, I actually like this episode.
I did as well. I like this show more and more. I don't think that the chief of surgery there is going to go to San Francisco after all.
Okay, so that was funny when his girlfriend's like, you need to talk to me. You just need to tell him how it is and how it's going to be.
Yeah.
He's like, I've tried. You don't understand. No, you need to tell him. And then he's going to tell him. He's like, hey, before you can say anything, can you cover me for this day? Because
I got to do a play date with my daughter, and, you know, it's my first opportunity. And
I feel like I just really need be a parent for a change. He'll do it. Don't worry. He'll do it. And then she walks
away. You go be a dad.
Yeah. And she's like, yeah, you're right. That is harder than it sounds.
Yeah. But I have a feeling that since he didn't actually go be a dad and he spent the day in the hospital, that she's going to be like, all right, something's got to be done. And he's not going to go to San Francisco.
I don't think so either. Because he did go have the play date at the end of the episode.
Oh, finally, yeah.
Yes, because he initially called to cancel, but then he ended up going to it. And the reason why he called to cancel the play date is because all of a sudden to him it seemed like it was a date.
Right. Even though she explicitly said,
right,
this is a play date.
Yeah.
And then when he called her, she was like, yep, that'll work out great. She never gave any indication like,
correct.
Oh, my God,
he
I
read
can't
into
wait
it.
To stroke your penis or anything like that.
And then
she
when he
literally said, okay, great, we'll meet you there.
And then when he realized that it was really just a play date between kids, he was like, oh, I'm an idiot.
Yeah. Which he should have been.
I'm a moron.
Yeah.
But so it was a good episode. I enjoyed it.
Yeah. Yep. Iggy's still dealing with eating disorder, basically.
Yeah, he's basically tackled that headlong.
Yeah, he threw away all the cupcakes, and that woman's like, if you had read the card, those were for the whole staff. And he's like, no. I'm making healthy choices for everyone. Nobody's going to be eating sugary stuff like this.
And then he dug them out of the trash. Gross pig.
Yep. I really like the ER doctor. I like how she pulled the elephant thing on all the nurses and doctors around her. You know, they couldn't figure out what was wrong with the guy. And each one of them had like one of his symptoms. They were like, oh, well, didn't you notice this? Oh, well, didn't you notice this? She's like, he's an elephant. You put three blind people in front of an elephant, they're going to tell you it's a different thing. But you got to put it all together. So,
but she noticed that because they didn't have the computers running, they had to actually work together as a unit, work together as a team, and communicate with each other. And so she liked it. So because at the beginning she kept giving the IT guy a bunch of shit, saying, you know, get your shit together and fix our stuff. We need this place up and running. And then by the end of it, she was like, you know what? Take your time.
And you know, I don't work in a hospital. I don't even like hospitals. So I don't relate to a lot of the stuff that goes on there, but I really related to the IT issues. Because, come on, that happens a lot everywhere you go. They say, oh, we rolled you and I just got one at work the other day, you know, where they're like, even though we told you to update your computers and you did, now you need to go in and really update again. Because we rolled out new patches that really have to go through. So please do it right now. Yeah.
Yeah.
So there was no new Stumptown this week.
Nope.
Did you watch the one from the week before?
I don't remember.
Because you hadn't watched it last time.
I don't think I did. What was it about?
It's more about him having moved out.
Oh, yeah. No, I didn't. You know, it's weird. I like the show, but when I flip to go see what I have to watch on Hulu, a lot of times I just go, eh, and I skip over.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I still enjoy it quite a bit.
I know, because I really, 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 really like her.
Kobe Smulders.
And I like him.
Mm-hmm.
You know? I watched, this is kind of weird. They had the first episode of Legends. Okay, the first episode was a special episode, the Infinity Part 5.
Mm-hmm.
Then they had Meet the Legends, and then they took a week off.
Yep.
That's dumb.
I think that they're lining up with Flash, maybe? I don't know.
But anyhow, so I did watch Meet the Legends.
Wasn't that great?
That was fantastic.
God, it reminds me why I love that show so much.
I loved the concept of the reason why they, and they explain why the documentary crew is there.
Mm-hmm.
It's because of transparency for this senator, because the Time Bureau has been shut down.
Yeah.
It seems odd, right?
Yeah, well, they had that whole Hayworld thing.
And now Ava's, I guess, a legend.
Yep.
Or at least she's with the team. I really enjoyed this episode. I thought it was hilarious.
And it's really odd but awesomely disjarring how Bayrod, everybody just knows him. He's the bro.
Because he's always been there.
Exactly.
Yes.
But Nate's getting that little glimmer.
Well, because Rasputin, like, hypnotized him.
And then when he's on board and they're fixing Gideon.
Yes.
Because she's got the corrupt memory because she's got two different timelines going through her. He sees her message that says, you know, hey, if you see this, something went wrong. Find me.
Yeah.
And then Gideon's like, oh, I purged the last bad memory.
Yep.
Everything's all set. Happy, happy fun.
So Nate also did that other thing where he, like, took the pieces of the magazine and you know, pieced someone together.
Yeah. I never.
I thought that was a little bit lame.
Yeah. I don't like that when they do that as a, you know, whether it's a romantic love story or a comedy or whatever. It's just, it's a.
If he showed the picture of her to the new guy, I guess, when he recognized her?
Yeah, he should, because that's his sister.
But then again, he's from 2044,
mm-hmm.
and he gets to see himself as a kid, or he goes and sees himself being born. That was hilarious.
Yes, I like that.
Yeah, he goes, hey, that's me.
Yeah, this is my birthday, like my literal birthday.
I liked the explanation of why Rasputin wouldn't die.
Yeah.
That was kind of neat if they tie that into, like, real history, if you will.
The fact that Nora Dark is still a fairy godmother.
Yes.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, that looks fantastic. I can't wait to see more of that.
But she granted Gary his ultimate wish of everything on the planet. You know, it wasn't to be a hero or anything. It was to be John Constantine's intern.
Intern. Apprentice. Yeah. Or whatever.
Yeah. That was his ultimate wish.
John Constantine went to hell.
Yeah.
Yeah. Try and figure out what's going on.
Threw himself into hell. Basically drank part of Rasputin.
Yeah.
They're all, oh.
I liked when Brandon Routh.
Yeah.
What's his
Ray
name?
Ray Palmer.
Ray Palmer. When Ray was inside Rasputin and then, just grow, Ray, just grow. Because it explodes everywhere.
He kept trying to come up with a new catchphrase.
Yes.
And he had the Adam cam on.
Yes.
Mona's gone because
Nick
turned over the books to her.
Yeah.
She's going to be the new Rebecca Silver.
And so she leaves the Legends.
Yep. Because she says it may have worked for him, but she can't write in those conditions. And, you know, with all the distractions around there. And plus, let's face it, Mick, your last one, Carjacked, it sucked. And it just leaves him on that.
We also get the when they watch the documentary at the end and everybody loves it, and then Sarah's like, yeah, it's all fake. It's all special effects. You guys thought this was real?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Kind of covering their own asses.
Well, I did seem kind of odd that they'd made a documentary. It wasn't just for the for Congress or whatever. They released it at a film festival. I had a release like...
Yeah. Yeah. There's one thing to be... you know, transparency for government officials, but, you know, to release it as part of a film fest, that's just, that doesn't seem right. So it made sense that she would kind of, you know, tell them, hey, it's all fake. Now, I'm assuming you still did not watch Batwoman or Supergirl.
I didn't.
Batwoman, like I said, the week before the very end of it, Beth showed up. From
a
different universe. Yep. This episode was called Unbirthday Present, and we dealt with that. Alice has been captured, and she's in holding. So, of course, you know, there's a plan to get her out. Meanwhile, Kate's kind of interrogating Beth, and, yeah, she knows that now that she's from another Earth, and, you know, she kind of knows what happened. On her Earth, Kate had rescued her, but Mom still died in the car crash. But she knows Lucius Fox's son, and, you know, she knows some of the stuff that was going on. Bruce Wayne was still around in her world.
Mm.
But, of course, you know, Alice's goons take some rich guy's sons hostage and say, you know, we're going to kill them unless you let Alice go. And, you know, it just, it becomes this whole big hullabaloo with Alice. They're making too much of this one villain. Like, one thing about Flash or Arrow that's good is they have multiple villains.
Yep.
Like, Batwoman just has Alice so far, and it's very annoying. And it really looked like they were going to kill Beth off, like, this soon, but they didn't. She managed to rescue her, but they, like, legitimately, she was locked in the trunk of the car that was set on fire. And Kate got in there and broke out the two trust fund babies, but then she couldn't get the trunk open, and she ripped out the back seat, and it was all metal framework, and she couldn't get Beth out. And it legitimately looked like she was going to be left there.
They were going to do have her relive what happened to her as a child,
pretty much, yeah.
But then, Kate, at least.
But then Kate came in and busted out the metal and took her right out of there.
So she gets vindication for doing now what she couldn't do then.
Exactly. So now we've got two different Beths. And that's how the episode ended, was that both of the... So Beth and Alice both fell over clutching their heads and screaming.
Oh.
Yeah, so I don't know if this is, you know, two can exist at the same time.
Yeah.
Supergirl was a two-parter.
They coexisted together for much of the episode until they couldn't.
Yeah. Supergirl was a two-parter, but I still watched the first part. It was called Back from the Future Part 1. Wynn is back because an alternate Earth, Wynn. So you remember Wynn, his father was the Toy Man?
Yes.
And he hated that?
Yes.
Well, alternate Earth Wynn showed up here, and this alternate Earth Wynn followed in Daddy's footsteps and became evil. So Lex hatched a plan, because Lex is so smart, to basically free him and set him loose to cause trouble, which fucked up future Wynn's future, because now he's a wanted criminal back in the past. So the future police showed up and were like, hey, we're going to arrest you. So he jumped into the past to clear his own name, and we got some hijinks there. It was enjoyable. Not a lot came out of it, except for Brainy basically realizing that even though the other Brainy told him you have to work with Lex Luthor, he's not going to enjoy it, because Lex is chaos incarnate, as he says.
Yeah,
yeah. But I'm assuming you watched Arrow.
You know, I didn't. I didn't make. I watched a lot. I watched other stuff.
Okay.
I do plan. I actually was gonna watch it, and I thought I can't pay attention to it right now, so I'm not going to, because I do want to see what happens.
Gotcha.
Was it good?
Yeah. And there's no Stephen Amell.
Were you satisfied with it?
Yep.
Okay, good. I do look forward to checking that out, actually.
I won't say anything until you watched it, then.
I did watch both episodes of This Is Us.
Yes, A Hell of a Week, Part 1 and 2.
Yeah, so Part 1, so apparently this is going to be a three-parter with this week. Oh, sorry, next week we get Part 3.
Nope, the 18th.
Oh, it says the 11th, so it's 2 weeks?
Yeah,
oh, okay.
I thought it was the 18th.
I'm looking here, it says 11th, but this is probably wrong. So anyways, But we watched A Hell of a Week Part 1 and Part 2.
Mm-hmm.
And Part 1 is about Randall. And when we got
the same week.
Yes. This is, yeah, well, we've basically, okay. So the previous episode ends with Randall returning home from California. He goes and sees his wife and kids, and he goes downstairs to drink water, and there's a guy standing in his house with a knife.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how the episode ends, and the episode picks right up there. And essentially, Randall's like, I have money, take it. And he throws his money clip on the counter.
And the guy takes it.
Well, but he tells the guy, like, you trip the sign alarm, the police are on the way. Your best bet is to leave, but if you try to get past me, you're not going to make it.
Yeah.
Which, because Randall was obviously freaking out at first, but then, like, the dad and him kicked in, and it's just like, I will defend my family to the death.
Right.
And the guy had a knife, not a gun, so the guy runs up and grabs his money and runs away. Mm-hmm. So, of course, this whole episode, we're dealing with Randall's anxiety over being afraid to be in his own house. And so his flashback, and I do like how they did this, because his flashback goes back to him being a kid initially.
Mm-hmm.
And it's this one night where Jack and Rebecca put the three kids to bed. It's all three of these kids' first night in their big boy and big girl beds.
No more cribs.
No more cribs. Kevin and Randall have a room, and Kate has her own room, and Rebecca's sick. And so she takes some, like, NyQuil and goes to bed, and so she's out. And Jack goes downstairs to watch The Shining.
Yep.
And Randall comes down because he's afraid. So Jack goes upstairs with him, and he kind of – the flashback for that whole time frame is Jack trying to get Randall to calm down, and he lays on his floor for a bit, and he goes back downstairs, and Randall comes downstairs, and he's like, I'm still afraid. And Jack is basically like, look, buddy, you got to do me a favor. Your brother and sister are a handful. I need you to be cool with this, so I just need you to go back to bed and just be a big, tough kid. Nothing. I promise you there's nothing there. Nothing's going to scare you. So Randall goes to bed. And Jack starts to watch the movie again, then Kevin comes downstairs.
Yep.
And that's where this episode ends, and episode Hell Week Part 2, which happened the next week, picks off.
Right.
So going back, we have teenager Randall, or Randall in college as a freshman, yes. Actually. And now this version of Randall is apparently freaked out because he has these nightmares about his dad dying. And going to have dinner with the family, but his dad's there, but so is Miguel and Beth and Kevin and I want to say Phoebe, but it's Chloe and everything. And so Randall has these dreams where, like, he's screaming, but he can't be heard. And
yep, so mom's out in the lightning, trimming a rose bush.
Kevin's losing his mind. Randall's losing his mind. And then he's afraid to sleep by himself. So he gets Beth to sleep with him. And she kind of partially enables his behavior while at the same time trying to comfort and care for him. And then him and Beth are supposed to go to this grief counseling thing. And Randall can't go because something's going on with Kate. And he has to cancel because mom and Kevin are going to come pick him up. And that part's to be continued in episode 2.
Mm-hmm.
And then adult Randall is dealing with his house being broken into and all the anxiety that's going along with that. And
so now he has a security system and he's just constantly checking it. Every time the motion detector goes off, he gets an alert on his phone. And so he's completely distracted from all of his normal job duties, which, first off, stupid. There's people walking up and down that sidewalk constantly. Of course the motion detector is going to go off constantly. So he's just, you know, his phone's just ding, 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 and he's constantly looking over there and constantly picking it up. And you know, Malik's dad comes to talk to him about some legitimate issues they're having in the neighborhood. You know, Randall's going to be supporting this one councilman's bill to build some new buildings in the neighborhood. And a lot of the local business owners think they're going to get pushed out because it's like high-end condos.
And their taxes are going to go up, yeah. Yep.
So Malik's dad comes to talk to him, like, man-to-man,
yeah.
And Randall is too distracted by his phone. He's like, you know what? I'll come see you at the town hall tonight.
Yeah.
And then he doesn't give him any shit at the town hall because he heard what had happened. And he knows that he got his house broken into, and he's like, I was going to rip you apart, but, you know, I heard that, and you've been through a lot of shit.
Well, he came to his house to talk to him.
Yeah.
Like, kind of man-to-man as well, and just be like, and basically, Malik said, have you thought about therapy?
Right.
Because I went to therapy, and it did me wonders, and it really gave me someone to talk to, and it helped me a lot. And, of course, Randall's, I'm not into that. I'm the big, tough, macho guy.
Running works for me.
I just like to run. So he goes for his run, and while he's on his run, he runs into a woman who's getting mugged. I thought you were going to.
No. I'm waiting on you.
He runs into a woman getting mugged, and of course, he beats the shit out of this guy.
Yeah.
He stops himself, you know.
But not before fracturing his hand.
Yeah, he breaks a bone in his hand, and he goes back to work. And he had called Kevin. And, of course, we see a little bit what's going on with Kevin. He's like, yeah, I'm in Pittsburgh for a funeral. And he's like, wow, you need to talk. And Randall's like, no, I'm good. And then he goes to back to work, and everyone's like, great job, counselor. Yeah, you're a hero. And he makes the papers and on and on and on. And he just turns and walks out of his office, goes all to his house, locks himself in his bathroom, and calls Kevin and has a breakdown.
Yeah, says, now I need you. I need to talk to you. And we get the other end, which is Kevin saying, you know, it's actually good that you're talking to me right now because I've done something. And we see that there's a blonde sleeping in the bed behind.
Yep. And
then the episode ends.
And, yeah, basically that's the end of the episode, right? Is that covering all the bases?
Mm-hmm.
So then we get Kevin's episode. And Randall's episode was so slow. I just, it really wasn't that great. It picked up kind of near the end, but.
Anytime we focus on Randall, it's focused on anxiety. It's focused on him trying to do too much, thinking he's the greatest in the world. And it becomes a bit taxing. It's not a bad episode, but it's taxing.
Randall can sometimes come off as very arrogant as well. Yeah.
Quite often, actually.
So Kevin's episode, I really enjoyed.
I did too.
I got into Kevin's more. It picks up with Kevin downstairs, and he wants his sheep mobile back.
Little Kevin.
Little boy Kevin. Little kid Kevin goes down to see Jack, and he wants his sheep mobile back. And so Jack tries to find it, and he can't find it. Eventually wakes up Rebecca to ask her, and Rebecca's like, yeah, we got rid of that. And so he's like, oh, sorry, buddy, we got rid of it. But here, take your tiger. Your tiger will protect you. Everything's going to be great, yada, yada. That's pretty much all Kevin needs, and he's back to bed.
Yeah.
Jack goes back downstairs, and of course Kate shows up. And says, like, Dad, we got a problem. And that's the end. And that's the end of little Kevin beginning little Kate, which I'm assuming is going to pick up in the next episode. We get college Kevin. Mm-hmm. And college Kevin's story is essentially they show up a day early from when him and Chloe are supposed to be there, and it's
Sophie.
Sophie, thank you. Sophie is supposed to be there, and then they show up for mom's birthday party because that's why they're in town, and, oh, something's going on with Kate. We're coming to pick you up. We need to see her. That's pretty much it for, like, college Randall, Kevin, whatever age you want, 20-year-old Kevin, 19-year-old Kevin.
Well, we also get a little bit before that.
Yes, I'm sorry. You're right. Go ahead.
Yeah, so we get Kevin on the night of his dad's death, essentially, you know, because we had always seen that he had run off with Sophie and we had seen that he was pissed off, but we get to see like how they really legitimately had a good time together, you know, they went to that spot in the forest and they hung out with friends and they'd gone to see Good Will Hunting. And
that was a cool theme of the episode.
That was a really cool theme of the episode. Basically didn't finish the movie.
Yeah, the film melted.
Yep.
And so they never saw the ending, and so instead they would just make up endings.
Yeah, they made a promise to never watch the ending, either one of them. And so every now and then when they needed to cheer each other up, they'd just make up an ending.
Because at the beginning of this episode, we see adult current day Kevin, if you will, and Sophie's calling him because her mom's died.
Yeah. Well, she'd been calling him a lot while he was on the set with M. Night Shyamalan.
Right, which we see again in this episode.
M. Night Shyamalan is giving him the key to a great twist ending.
Yeah.
You know? But, of course, they cut away to the intern or the PA.
Yeah.
And then they come back after he goes, and that's all there is to it. Yeah.
But Sophie's mom died, and we get to see, like, 19-year-old Kevin, where Sophie's mom was, like, super supportive of him and, like, his biggest fan. And Kevin and her really kind of bonded together, even though her and Sophie didn't get along.
Yep.
Because it sounds like Sophie's mom wasn't responsible with money or...
Was not responsible with money.
Maybe drank too much or...
But she also had at least enough, I don't want to say smarts, but responsibility to, like, Kevin came and said, I want grandma's ring. To get the sofa. And she didn't give it to him, but she gave him, you know, a really good talking to about it.
Yes.
You know, she didn't say, you're not worthy, but she kind of did say, you're not worthy.
Well, she gave a long story about how grandma met the guy and then he had to go away and he kept the ring with him while he was in the military, like he was in World War II or whatever it was. And then he came back with the ring. And so, like, she explained why the ring was so special and why she wasn't just going to hand it over to Kevin.
Mm-hmm.
And essentially was basically telling Kevin he wasn't ready right now.
Yeah. yeah, I picture good things for you, and I know that you're going to do a lot, but, yeah. You know, it's not the right time right now.
Right. And
he still loved her. You know, he still loved the mom, but, you know.
But he accepted that.
Yep.
He accepted that. And so then we get current day Kevin, and he goes to the funeral. And when Randall called him the first time in the middle of the night, that's where Kevin was like, I'm in Pittsburgh. You're never going to believe why. He's there for the funeral, but he feels awkward about it. And then at the funeral, Sophie's having a hard time, and then she sees Kevin in the back of the audience, in the back of the church, and focuses on him, can get through it. And then he's debating if he wants to go visit her or not. So he calls her from outside her house. He can see her inside the window. And essentially he's like, well, I'm outside. And so she goes out, and then they go off. They go for a ride.
Yeah, she's like, get me out of here.
And throughout the episode, like, they'll have some, like, kind of pretty intense moments, both as them as teenagers, and then them as, you know, when they were married the first time and now, where they just say, like, you know, do you, I have one for you.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll do different ones, yep. You know, and I wish I could remember the one about the cider, because that was hilarious.
Oh, yeah, I don't remember.
It was like he makes a hard cider business, calls it Goodwill Pressing or something like that.
Yeah, it was something like that.
But even like at Jack's funeral, Sophie walks up and puts her hand on his shoulder and then passes him a note. When he opens the note, it's like an ending to Goodwill Hunting.
Yeah.
And this Goodwill Hunting thing seems to be one thing they have left that's kind of keeping them together.
Mm-hmm.
And Sophie is engaged to another guy.
Yep.
So Kevin's like, can I take you someplace? And she's like, absolutely. And they go to that spot where they had the bonfire as kids and really hung out and had that great night.
But see, the interesting thing about this episode is that we've only seen the bonfire as a great night. It was,
yes.
It was after the movie. They were there with their friends. They really, it wasn't that when they first said, I love you.
Yes.
And everything was just perfect. What we don't realize is that after we get here as adults, we get to go back and see the tail end, which was, that was the night that Jack died.
That was the night that, I mean, and it seemed like everything, something bad happened after every time they went there and had a great moment.
Yep.
So they go there again, and they watch the end of Good Will Hunting.
Yep.
And I like how they're like, oh, I can't even imagine the movies as any near as good as the ones we've come up with. And they watch the end of the movie, and they're just like, well, that was way better than we expected.
Yeah.
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 So that was pretty solid. And Sophie goes home. She goes back to her fiancé.
Mm-hmm.
She brings out a photo, a headshot from a very young Kevin that he had given Sophie's mom.
He had autographed.
Had autographed for and everything. And he goes to the graveyard again to talk to her. And he brings her a Fresca and champagne. He's like, well, I'm just going to drink the Fresca if that's okay. And
yeah, he talked about how he had to go to like three different stores because he couldn't find a Fresca. And he almost went with a Shasta. But, you know, he finally found it because we just don't quit, do we?
Which was funny because I was at a store today and I made a point to see if they had Fresca. And they did.
Nice.
Because I haven't looked for a year. My mom used to drink it all the time.
Oh, yeah.
And Fresca's not a – Tab was the one that was always the diet soda. And the only version they had was – Tab, the diet soda. Fresca wasn't that way, though, I don't think.
Yeah.
Anyhow, it doesn't matter. So, I love when he left his headshot on the grave and walked away. And he goes, like, I can't do this.
Yeah,
and he goes
lingers there for, like, 30 seconds. And then he comes back in camera and he's like, yeah, that's just too creepy. I can't do that.
But Kevin heads home. He heads back to L.A. And he goes to see Kate because he just wants to see Jack. And Kate's not there, but her best friend is, little blonde.
Madison.
Yeah. And essentially, you know, they tell us that Kate's out of town at a retreat with Jack. Toby's at work.
Yep.
And the next thing you know, we see the blonde girl in the bed is Madison.
Well, Madison has it was telegraphed at this point. Because
tremendously.
Because basically she's like, yeah, the most recent in a line of guys just broke up with me and blah, blah, blah. And Kevin actually gives a good line. You know, he says, how about this? Instead of looking at it that you're broken, look at it that you're the one that wanted to stick around and make things work. And they're the ones that took off. So, and yeah, then he slept with Madison.
And then we get Kevin. Randall calls Kevin, and this is the moment where Randall's having his freak out and Kevin's talking to him. And then he's like, well, let me get Kate on the line. He goes, I know I just left there, but want me to come back out there and we can go to the cabin. And Randall's like, yes, that would be great. So let me get Kate. So he calls Kate, and Kate's just like, my marriage is 2 seconds away from imploding. And He goes, hold on, let me get Randall on the line. And they all kind of get on the phone together and decide to go to the cabin.
Yep.
And also we see, we go back in time a little bit when teenage Kevin was going to pick up, or whatever, 20-year-old Kevin was going to get Randall at college, and him and mom, and we're going to go get Kate, who Kate and Mark had headed to the cabin, and something bad happened.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't know why.
Which has been teased all this season.
Yep. Telegraphed a little bit, teased. And now we're at the point where we're waiting for part three, which is Kate's Hell Week.
I don't think I'm going to like it.
Of
all the stories that we've been watching this season, I love the show, and every story has been enjoyable.
Yep.
However, the least enjoyable to me are the Kate and Toby ones, because it's just really bothering me. Like, I feel like Kate is still a princess. You know, she still insists everything is about her, and it's really...
It's funny, because of all the Pearsons this season... Of all the seasons, the one that's bothering me the least this season is Kevin.
Yeah.
And Kevin's the one that, for the first three seasons, if you will, was the narcissistic, egotistical one.
Yeah.
And this season, he's really trying to genuinely kind of turn things around.
Yeah.
And whereas Randall has now kind of picked up that arrogant, almost narcissistic angle because he decided to run for the council.
Mm-hmm.
But Kate, when we first meet her, is the... Aw, shucks, low self-esteem, you know, doesn't think much of herself or putting herself before anything. Then she meets Toby, who builds her up. And like you said, yeah, now all of a sudden this season, she's kind of like, oh, I'm a fairy princess who, yeah.
You know, Toby,
my husband lost a ton of weight and got healthy, and now I just assume he's going
to
leave
me. And has friends that he could vent to.
Yeah, and now I
How
just
dare
assume
he
he's
vent to
leave.
His friends,
well,
like
you know,
every other fucking human in the world.
What's wrong with having someone in your life that you can laugh and have a good time with? It's a wicked personal deep callback. But yeah, no, it's definitely not the same thing. But yeah, you're right.
You know, they have their little triplet thing where they call each other and they vent about everything and they talk about everything. But heaven forbid somebody from outside the circle talk to somebody else from outside the circle.
Right.
And then when Toby legitimately, like, said to her, he's like, look, I have a hard time. I have a problem. You know, when I see him, I'm just so sad because I know that he'll never get to see this. He'll never get to do this. He'll never get to experience the ocean and football. And instead of her comforting him, she's like –
Well, you're a piece of shit.
Yeah, she goes and picks up the kid like, we're leaving. Fuck you.
No, that episode ended with Jack, like, reaching for the light. And it seemed like it was ending on a happy moment. And then we get this. We haven't seen anything about that until this, end of this episode, when it's like, my marriage is falling apart.
That's the thing. It ended on a happy note, except for Kate's lingering look of like, I still don't like him.
Well, no, because we don't know why Toby switched gyms.
Well, he says that it's because she tried to kiss him.
Right, but why didn't he tell her that she switched gyms then?
Yeah, because he was trying to avoid the drama.
But she did. Yeah, no, you're right. But he didn't tell her that he switched gyms.
Yeah.
Oh, hell.
Yeah. So, The Good Place, series finale. This was a little rough.
Honestly, this episode ended kind of not. The show ended kind of how I thought it was going to end. Once they introduced the door, I thought, I think I even said out loud, I think the final episode is going to be all of them coming to the point where they're ready to walk through the door.
Yeah.
And except for Tani, that's exactly what happened.
Yeah. And I wouldn't have expected any different from Tani.
Yeah.
And it wasn't her arrogance either. It was she legitimately wanted to learn how to do everything.
Yeah, and she actually learned how to do it on her own. She didn't just have Janet magically make her have the abilities to do this stuff.
I loved that she learned how to build furniture from Nick Offerman.
Yeah, that was the best part.
That was just great seeing him on there. Had no business being on there whatsoever except for the fact that he builds furniture and he's a manly man.
Yeah. He's got that beard going on.
Yep.
No, Jason's first. He, like, gets a perfect score in Madden.
Played a perfect game.
Played a perfect season.
Yes. That's right.
You know, and Madden finally did it because it was like 2,000 some odd Jeremy Baramies later.
Mm-hmm. So they've, like, they have existed for a long time.
Yes. And Jeremy decides, you know, they throws a giant farewell party for Jason. He makes a necklace for Janet but loses it. And she's like, well, you can sit on that bench till you're ready to go through. And then just walk through.
It was very sad the way that she would say that to people.
Yeah.
Because he said that he got this feeling where it was like the air inside of his body was the same as the air outside of his body. And he just felt at peace. And he was like, yep, it's time now. But he didn't want Janet to forget him. He said, I don't care if she takes another lover.
Yep.
You know, like if Jason Momoa shows up here or if Tomb Raider gets in here, you know, then absolutely I'm fine with that. I just don't want her to ever forget me. So that's why he made the necklace.
Which is a little necklace that's J&J on it.
Yep.
But then he drops it and he can't find it. Maybe this magic squirrel got it and ran away with it. So Jason sits on the bench and Janet leaves.
Yep.
And then we cut to Chidi's story.
No, Tahani.
Oh, sorry, Tahani's story. Yep. And Tahani decides that it's time for her. Tahani's checking off her list. And then we find out her sister's there and they get along. Mm-hmm. And then Janet lets her know that her parents have finally passed and she meets her parents. And they get along smashing well. Her parents are wonderful people. They apologize for all the stuff they put her through. And for like 1,000 years, they have a great life together.
Yeah.
And then Tahani just finally settles it's time for her to go. So she says goodbye to everybody already, and she has a small little party for just them.
That she made herself.
She cooked all the food, did everything herself. But then, at the end of the party, decides that she's not ready to end her existence, but she doesn't want to be here anymore. She wants to be an architect.
Mm-hmm.
So Michael gets her job starting over as an intern as an architect.
Now, interspersed with all of this, we've learned that the doorman guy there,
yes.
Like his entire, when we've seen him before, it was just like emptiness. It was blackness everywhere. And now there's more elevators. There's more things around him.
He's like the center hub of a huge thing. Yeah.
And at first he's thrilled because he's surrounded by frogs and people keep bringing him different frogs. And he's like, oh my God, this is great. I love frogs. Cause he was so appreciative of that one.
Yeah.
And then as the episode goes on,
hey, like, when you know what you love.
Yeah. He gets more and more frogs and then more and more frogs to the point where they're like, look, I brought you this frog. He's like, yeah, just put it over there. Okay.
Yeah, just put it in the pile.
Yeah. Cause now he's just drowning in frogs, but there's people everywhere. So he's no longer just sitting there by himself, which is kind of cool. They have a council.
Yes.
That's been set up, where they all kind of keep tabs on how things are going, whether the system is working, you know, how they can improve, how they can keep things going. And you know, that's a side story. And by the end of the episode, that side story is that they dissolve the council.
Yeah, Michael shows up for a meeting. He brings donuts and there's no council meeting.
Yeah,
the judge is like, yeah, we dissolved it. We don't need it anymore. It's perfect.
Yeah, everything works just as it's supposed to.
And
so.
And Michael finds that he doesn't have a reason to exist anymore.
Yep.
And I know we're jumping ahead, but he can't step through the door.
He decides he's going to step through the door.
And he tries. I love it when he steps through the door, nothing happens, and he turns and walks behind the tree.
Right.
Yeah.
He goes, did I walk through it the wrong way?
Yeah.
Do I have to go back this way? Do I have to jump? Do I have to dance?
Yeah. But it's a term that he can't step through the door. And
Janet says it wasn't meant for him.
We'll get back, I guess, to him.
Mm-hmm.
Chidi.
Yep.
So Eleanor, so Jason's gone through the door.
Yep.
And Tahani has become an intern to be an architect. And Chidi now has decided that he's ready to step through the door.
I like how he's Eleanor busts out a philosophy book and she finishes it. She's like, oh, it took me 2,000 Baramies, but I finally got through this book. What do you read? And he's like, The Da Vinci Code.
Yeah.
He's like, I've read the hardest works on the face of the planet and I've decided I just want trash. I mean, that was a stab.
Trash
like
novels.
Somebody really wanted to tell Dan Brown what they felt.
But, you know, Chidi and they all go, Chidi and Eleanor and their friends kind of go out and have dinner together and everything.
He's making decisions.
Yeah. And Eleanor's sensing that Chidi's decided he wants to go.
Mm-hmm.
So she decides to prevent him from telling her that. And Janet's like, well, you can't stop him. If it's his time to go, it's his time to go. And Eleanor's like, well, he hasn't technically said it's his time to go yet.
Mm-hmm.
And the long and the short of it, they go to Paris. They go to Greece. They go to all these different beautiful places that Chidi had been to when he was alive and loved and wanted to go again and meet all these people. And then Chidi tells her, like, hey, you know what? It's time for me to go. And she basically talks him out of it. And he agrees.
Yeah, she tells him, I can't be without you, blah, blah, blah. And he's like, fine, I'll stay.
I'll stay then. No big deal. And then she comes to the realization that's selfish. She can't do that. She has to let him go. And I like the point where Chidi said, like, I knew. She says, maybe you're just feeling it right now, but if you wait a little while, you won't feel this way. He's like, oh, I've known for a long time.
Yeah.
And so she finally decides to let him go. And this is one of my favorite parts, when Janet brings Chidi there and tells him it's time for him to go. And he steps to the door, and all of a sudden Jason pops up from behind a tree.
Yeah.
And he's like, hey, it's finally you. And she's like, well, he's like, well, you know, and he basically, he found the necklace. It was in his other pocket.
Yeah.
And then he sat there for 100 Baramis waiting for her to come back, or however long it was.
It was like 10,000
Baramis. 10,000 Baramis waiting for her to come back. But it was cool because he was at peace and he just sat there in silence and just enjoyed nature.
Sometimes other Janets showed up to show people through the door, but it was never her. He wanted it to be her.
And finally it's her, so he gives her the necklace. And oh, she makes a comment, oh, so sort of like a monk. What's that? Never mind.
Yeah.
But my favorite part is he puts the necklace on her and then kisses her and says, hey, Chidi, wait up.
Yeah. Because it's Jason.
And he runs off through the door. Now we have Eleanor.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't remember the order. Hold on. Oh, yeah. Nope. Eleanor.
Not long. It's only like another 6 Baramis.
It's not very far, but she decides.
2.8 or something.
It's almost like she can't make it without cheating.
Yeah.
So she decides.
All of her friends are gone now.
Yes, except for Michael and Janet.
Mm-hmm.
And so she decides she can't, you know, go through the door without him.
Yep.
And then all of a sudden she finds a purpose. She goes and finds Mindy St. Clair, who's still in the neutral place,
mm-hmm.
and talks Mindy into coming to going through the process.
Meanwhile, we get to see what's become of Derek.
Oh my God. Derek is what? A celestial head?
He's the alpha and the omega. He's like everything goes through him, and he knows everything and the
he's
beginning
been
and yeah.
Rebooted like 100 million times or whatever it is.
And he's having this whole existential like all things are Derek. Everything comes and Mindy's just like, oh my God, you're so annoying.
And reboots him again.
Yep.
Yeah. But basically talks Mindy into going through the process.
Yep.
Because he's like, oh, Mindy, you're all like I am, et cetera, et cetera. And Mindy's not really trustworthy, so they go, and Tahani is almost done to grab. what's the guy's name? It's not Michael. Is it Steven? No.
Which one?
The bad place boss.
Oh, yeah. I can't think of his name.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
but he's just like, he says, like, yo, basically, like, Tahani is doing exceptionally well, and it won't be long before she's on her own. Wait, I'm sorry. That sounded heinous. That sounded evil and sinister. I didn't mean it that way. It won't be long. No, wait. No, that's still evil and sinister.
Yeah, he's having a hard time.
Yeah, not being evil. But basically, it's decided that once Tahani is cleared and she's an architect, the first program she's going to build is for Mindy St. Clair.
Yep.
So Mindy goes back off to her place, and we've got that settled up. Because they're closed. They're tidying everything up. Mm-hmm. And then this is when Michael now has his breakdown, and essentially Eleanor goes to the judge and is like, make Michael human. And first the judge is like, we just can't do that, and this and that, and then finally they agree, so they make Michael human. He gets to walk through a door and become an earthling.
And they tell him that he will be some age, and he will live for some years, and he will have some experiences, but, you know, it's all going to be a mystery. He won't know.
Yep. And here's, you know, here's your license, here's a birth certificate, here's a social security card, here's a bank account with enough money in it that you'll live, but not enough to be an arrogant prick or something like that. Yeah. And
Entitled prick.
And Janet's so upset that he's leaving and is like.
Like she's watched everybody else go, but with him it's like.
It's because they've been together for so long.
Right.
And this Janet's different from other Janets, and that's when Michael leaves. And now it's just Janet and Eleanor.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's great that we get to see Michael living on Earth for a little while. You know, he...
Because Janet kind of asks her, what do you think he's doing? And Eleanor kind of pontificates about it. We get to see, you know. She's like, he's trying his best, and he's having good days, and he's having bad days.
Yes. It was interesting.
It was. And then Eleanor decides that
And the visual of this was awesome.
It was.
Because Janet's like, can I sit with you for a little while? And Ellen's like, yeah, of course. You want a margarita? Always. And then Eleanor decides to walk through the door. And when she does, it's like the camera kind of goes up and it looks like the Eleanor kind of breaks up into little particles. And then mm-hmm. we see these sparkle particles and we follow them along. And then it lands on like some mail. Mm-hmm.
No, it lands on the shoulder of a guy who's looking at his mail.
Yes, that's what it is.
He had just thrown away a letter.
He throws something away, picks it back out of the trash, shakes his head, takes it someplace else, mm-hmm. knocks on a door. Michael answers. He's like, hey, I think this belongs to you.
It was delivered to my building by accident.
Yeah, and Michael takes it, and it's like a membership to a strip club or something like that.
Yeah.
And
the name on it is Michael Realman.
Yes, that's right. Michael Realman.
R-E-A-L-M-A-N.
And Michael tells him to take it sleazy, and that's the end of the series.
Yep. The guy just laughs, and he's like, oh, that's good. And, yeah.
Did you?
Yes.
Okay, so on mine.
I watched it on Hulu.
Okay. Yeah. See, I watched it on Hulu, and there was like an extra like 10 or 15 minutes of them talking to the cast.
Yep, Seth Meyers was there.
Which was wicked rushed at the end.
It was. I felt really bad, because they were supposed to do Eleanor, basically. But
yeah.
Yeah, Kristen Bell. It was nice to hear them all like be really nice to each other and what this meant to them. And
if you think they were only on four seasons, technically 3 years.
Turns out Jason, whose real name is Manny.
Yeah.
They were like, yeah, the toughest thing for you was buying a house and then finding out like 2 days later that Michael decided to cancel the show. And he's like, yep, that was rough.
It's kind of funny because they came back and they all had champagne and they're going to toast each other. And it's at this point you realize that Darcy, who played Janet, and then the guy that played Chidi, clearly must be in a relationship together.
They did seem awfully close.
Well, they were holding hands and caressing each other's legs. Yeah. So. But they toasted each other. And essentially what it was is like, I don't know, Eleanor started with – she toasted Chidi's character.
They started with Kristen Bell and they said you have to choose one person and then whoever you toast, then they choose somebody else. And then, you know, it all comes around so that you're the last one toasted.
Yes. Yeah. And there was some really nice toasts. Mm-hmm. There were some really like nice and thoughtful toasts that were really good, especially Chidi and Manny.
Mm.
Which kind of surprised me because, like, on the show, their characters aren't kind of close, but that's a TV show.
Yeah.
And then, you know, Ted Danson had to toast Janet, which I thought was fitting. And then she had to toast Kristen Bell. And then, like, she only had, like, 30 seconds, and they were rolling through the credits. And so she fired it off, and then they shared a nice soft kiss.
Yeah, that was interesting.
That was interesting.
Like, right on the lips. Just...
Yeah, not even on the cheek. Like, directly right on the mouth.
Yeah. That was interesting.
And then they cut away. But that was kind of cool. Like, I wish it didn't feel so rushed, though.
I know.
Like, they should have given it, more time and not feel so rushed and just,
Yep.
But I think it was live.
Yes, it was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, because
it was nice that Hulu put that on there for us.
Yeah, when I queued it up on Hulu, I'm like, an hour and 5 minutes?
Yeah.
Huh. And then it gets over, I'm like, there's like 15, 16 minutes left. And then that's what it was. So
I'm glad that it went out the way that it did.
It's one of those shows that you don't go, oh, it stayed around for a season too long or 10 seasons too long in the case of Supernatural or one season too long in the case of Scrubs.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's just one of those things where it's like, they did a great job.
Yep. They did.
And there's no, like, when Lost ended, there's no debate over what happened.
No.
Or, like, when The Sopranos ended, just cut into black, there's no debate over what happened.
Battlestar Galactica.
Yeah, or anything like that. Even Battlestar Galactica ended better than Lost and The Sopranos.
Oh, God,
still, you know. But, yeah, no, sincerely, like, this ended really well.
Yep. I was touched and also, you know, a little sad, but I think it was good.
Yeah. I do, too.
I think that was it for me for network TV shows.
I don't think I had any more than that either.
Everything else for me was, you know, the Netflix HBO type thing.
Yeah.
I got to say, I'm still watching Sex Education, one episode a week. I'm still really enjoying this show. It was great this week's episode. The girl who, she's obviously Indian, and she kind of, like, is a background character for the most part. Like, she's always there in the popular clique. She was having sex with her boyfriend, riding on top of him and going right to town. And then she's like, I'm going to come. I'm going to come. And then she grabs a pillow and smothers him. Like, she's covering his face and pressing down hard. And then, yeah. Like, ah, and she has a rocking orgasm. And so the main character, I can't even remember, but his mom is now at the school to talk to kids about sexual questions that they have. She can't teach a full class, you know, because the principal doesn't like her, but she's there to answer questions. So that kid goes in there and he's like, my girlfriend keeps smothering me with a pillow. Every time we have sex, she like grabs a pillow and puts it over my face. And, you know, Gillian Anderson's like, ooh, this could be, I'm going to have to, you know, put up a lesson plan about fetishes because, you know, this could be like a mummification fetish or a smothering fetish or, a, you know, maybe she wants to have sex with a ghost or something like that. And so she goes the complete like clinical fetishist route. So then the kid goes back to his girlfriend. He's like, do you want to fuck a ghost? Are you trying to kill me? Is this what you're doing? So the Indian girl goes to her son and says, you know, hey, your mom's fucking up my boyfriend. And he's like, well, what's going on? And she's like, I put a pillow over his face because I looked in the mirror once and I saw my O face and it's ugly as shit. And I don't want him to see me like that. And he gives her some really good advice. And he's like, you know, sex isn't about looking good. It's about enjoying yourself. It's about bonding with somebody else. It should just be about that. And it kind of shows the dynamics, you know, between his mom, who's all clinical and just like takes it as she sees right. it. And he actually takes the time to talk to this girl and says, you know, well, what's going on? And gets the real story. So then she decides that the best solution will be that she does the Jim Carrey, where she takes tape and puts it all over her face and her boyfriend's face. And he's like, is this really necessary? And she's like, yes, I want us to look as ugly as possible so that when we do this, it's just about enjoyment. And it helps her get over it.
I think we have to watch that.
It's a great show.
I did enjoy the first season. I just haven't watched the second season. I feel like I don't have time.
Mm.
Just between life and everything going on. But I was going to say, which is weird, because when I was working more hours, I watched stuff. But it's because I literally just had my tablet running at work.
Yeah.
And I don't have that anymore. So there's like a good 6 hours of TV time a day that I don't have anymore, or better.
Right.
I did watch kind of one more network show. I never watch this show anymore, but I only watched this week because of the host and the Saturday Night Live. And I watched the Adam Driver episode. And I sent you that Mr. Wizard
the clip. Science Time.
Oh, my God.
That was good.
Like, I was laughing so hard. Kate texted me, are you okay? Because she was upstairs in bed and I was on the couch.
It was great because I'd like to think I'd act similarly.
Like, I can't do this.
Are you fucking kidding me?
I can't do this justice. You have to go watch it. It's just, it's on like YouTube, Adam Driver, Saturday Night Live on, you know, with Adam Driver. And it's.
Now, which comes first? The girl? Or the boy?
He goes, cause remember in the science lab, what always comes first. And it's like the little kid, girl and boy. And the girl goes, the guy, what? The guy comes first. What? No.
My older sister says the guy always comes first.
And he goes, what? No. And the girl and the boy goes, oh, so the girl comes first?
And she goes, no, never.
Yeah. My sister says, no, never. No, safety. Safety comes first. God, this is a horrible conversation. And then, like, this.
But he's asking, like, why the balloon is floating.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, what would happen to the balloon if I were to put a pin in it?
Yeah. It was hilarious. And then when he gets frustrated at the end, he like grabs like a staple and just throws it at the shelf behind him. And he's like, I have to just show the clip of the whatever playing. I'm going to go scream the C word into my shirt. Which, yeah. But I love the word. You know, like what is it like? What's inside the balloon or something? It starts with an O. No. It's Oxycontin. No, oxygen. I was going to guess that. I don't think you were. You know, like, I don't know. It was a simple skit. It probably was like a throwaway skit. It wasn't supposed to be the star of the episode because it's placement in order. It was the best skit on there.
It was so good.
It was hilarious. I sent it to a bunch of people. I sent it to you, and then the next day I sent it to a bunch of other people. And, oh, my God, I laughed so hard. They did the Undercover Boss 2, like the follow-up episode, and he's now a different character, and it's hilarious. So what do you guys think when Kylo Ren offers Rey his hand? Will she take it? Who cares? You know? Or like when the girl, like, they'll never let me be a pilot. You know, not Kylo Ren himself has to sign off it, and he's like, we need to change things around here.
Yeah.
And then there's, like, the helmet. She finds the helmet with a note that says, good luck, Ace Kylo Ren. And he walks and goes, oh, look what happened. Now you can maybe someday you'll be as good as a pilot of Kylo Ren. What? No, I'm going to be as good as pilot as Luke Skywalker. And then lightsaber through her chest. Now you can die like him, too. And then, like, I think it went well. I made four friends, only killed one of them.
Yep.
But, yeah, no, that science sketch was the, like...
Because he didn't start off as an angry guy. He just escalated because of the stupidity of the kids.
Oh, and his opening monologue was hilarious, actually. He's wanted to show how chilly could be. You should go back and watch that.
Okay.
That was actually really good as well. Because he's like, now he's like, I'm just stalling for time because there's this skit at the end. They want us to do it. I just don't want to do it. I'm supposed to dress up like a girl, and I can't figure out if it's transphobic or just past the time. But either way, I don't really think we should be doing it. Anyways, yeah, I should get it kicked off the show. All right, we've got a great show.
Nice.
He gives some audience member like a signed Kylo Ren action figure. It's just funny. It's
interesting.
Show how chill he is.
Yeah. Nice.
Hey, you look like you're a Star Wars fan. Nerd. Anyways. Yeah, I watched Saturday Night Live forever, and I really enjoyed that. The musical guest was Halsey, who I'd never heard of before, but I like both her songs.
Nice.
Yeah. They did this big skit, opening skit at the beginning that my wife thought was hilarious that she had seen, and it was something to do with Trump, and John Lovitz shows up. You know, the critic?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he shows up playing Trump's lawyer.
Oh.
Yeah. It's okay. Pretty funny. And this whole skit is actually very, very funny. You know how much I love politics stuff. It's actually really, really funny. And they go to hell, and what's the girl that was in Ghostbusters who's a Saturday Night Live? Kate McKinnon?
Yeah.
Yeah, she's the devil.
Awesome.
Fuck, hilarious.
She is hilarious.
She's absolutely awesome. Hilarious.
Do you see that?
Adam Driver plays Epstein. Right? He goes, what are you doing? Well, Epstein, how's it going, man? What are you doing? No, just hanging out.
Oh.
Yeah, like bad.
Oh.
Yeah, it's pretty bad. Pretty bad.
I like it.
Yeah, it was good. It's worth watching.
Now, have you watched the two existing episodes of Avenue 5?
I did watch both those episodes. I actually watched them last week after you left.
Thanks.
I went through on one of them. I ended up watching them. The second one started right after. Like you said, 20 minutes. I really enjoyed it.
It's a fun show.
It's not what I expected.
Dry.
Oh yeah,
the humor is very dry.
It's not what I expected, but yeah, I get what you mean. Now we get Hugh Laurie with his American accent, and then when the shit hits the fan, he starts talking and he's got his British accent. It's like, are you Australian? What? No. But it's the future, and apparently being British is bad too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, they're very upset about that.
And he's not. I love how he's like, I'm not an actual captain of a ship. I didn't actually do anything. You hired me with false pretenses. The guy that really runs the ship just died.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just say things and make it look good.
Exactly.
Like he's acting or something.
I love the dynamic between the Asian woman there and Josh Gad's character.
Oh, my God, yes.
It's so good because he's so over the top and she's just so dry.
Yes.
It's fucking hilarious. My favorite part so far has to be the funeral that they just had.
Oh, okay. All right. So
holy shit. The gravity.
So in the first episode, they're trying to speed up some processor because the rich guy hates that there's like a 30-second delay between what he says and Earth.
Which is always hilarious.
Yes.
When he talks to NASA.
Well, no, it's not NASA. It's his own command because NASA's their own thing.
Oh, that's right.
Remember, like, NASA wants, like, it sounds like billions of dollars to help them out.
Mm-hmm.
But essentially, the gravity gets gets jacked up and half the ship tips over and everyone falls to one side and then they recorrect it. And then the engineer that basically really runs everything gets killed and they get blown off course. And so it's going to take them 3 years because they have to use like their course they're on trajectory to kind of slingshot around everything to finally come back to Earth. And so eventually they have a funeral for this guy and they use what Judd's cat is it Judd? Yeah. They use Judd's casket, but it's solid gold. And when they release it outside into space, it's too heavy and it gets sucked into the gravitational pull of the ship. And so now this casket's just going to orbit the ship.
And I love how he actually says, he's like, does my casket have like a self-destruct? Why would your casket have a self-destruct? To prevent anybody from putting any incriminating bodily fluids in there. You know what? That tracks.
Yeah. I mean, I thought that was fantastic.
And yeah, so now for the rest of their trip, this, and even the people on ground control are like, there's a small rectangular object.
And I don't remember if it was the first or the second episode, but two of the passengers that got injured, three of them died. Okay, the three of them died, and they find like these clear storage cases to put them in as makeshift coffins because they don't have any coffins.
Which of course they have to be all scrunched up in them.
And they're going to use like a puff of air to get them out so they get far enough away from the ship so it gets away from the gravitational pull and it's going to be great. But of course the ground control doesn't tell them that they're going to reboot their system from afar. Mm-hmm. And so as soon as they drop the caskets down and to be jetted out, they shut the system down so they can't be shot out with the air, whatever it is. And by the time
they bang around each other.
Yes. And by the time they get the power back up, they've already drifted out. And now the three of them are now also stuck in the orbit of the ship.
With one of them is out of it.
Yeah.
And I love how that one guy is sitting there and he's like, oh my God, a head. Oh my God, a torso. And she's like, yeah, just keep calling out body parts. That'll help. A hand, a foot.
Yeah. And now they have these four caskets. Three of them are clear. One of them, the person's half hanging out, orbiting the spaceship.
Yeah.
And it's going to take them 3 years to get home. But this one guy on the ship who seemingly has no actual scientific background in what he's doing, but he's like, nah, I'll just take 6 months.
Oh, he's such a scumbag, too.
Yeah. So, no, I really enjoyed these first two episodes.
I like how she's like, yeah, all of his numbers are weird and sketchy. She's like, he says that his band's song has been downloaded 150 million times. Oh, we should get him to play the bar some night. I'll have to check his music first. Like, it's all very dry humor, and I love it.
Well, Judd hired the captain based on how he saved this other Avenue 3 from when they had a fire. And the whole time, he's always like, I didn't actually do anything. The fire department showed up, and they put out the fire, and the sprinklers put out the fire. And I love the fact that every time someone brings up Hilliard as the hero, he immediately says, nope, this is what happened. The sprinklers put the fire out. The fire department put the fire out. I really didn't do anything. And everyone ignores him.
Yeah.
And still just gives him full credit for being the hero.
Mm-hmm.
I find that to be hilarious.
I love it. So The Outsider?
Yeah. No, I thought those were great episodes.
Yeah.
Avenue 5.
Yeah, it's enjoyable. I'm enjoying it.
Yeah, The Outsider. So episode 4, correct?
Mm-hmm.
All right. So I make sure I'm caught. Okay, so episode 5 was last night.
Yep.
This is a good episode.
This one we learn about the thing that they all seem to have in common, because now we're starting to piece together that there are more people out there who have had this happen. So we had
Jason Bateman?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We had his character. We had the black guy who was in the prison who took his own life. Now we've got one who's alive, which is the female prisoner who allegedly the exact same thing happened. She supposedly murdered a kid.
But she was with her mother. Yep. And again, like everybody else, there's clear evidence she wasn't there and also clear evidence that she committed the murder. However, she's afraid to
speak his name.
Yeah.
Yeah. She says, who did this? And she's like, I can't speak his name. They'll throw me in a mental institute.
Yeah.
But the one thing that they all seem to have in common is they get scratched.
Yes. they bleed, they're cut, whatever it is.
Yep, a scratch on the wrist, or as we saw, and this is kind of what tied it back together, because the opening scene of this episode was very weird. It was a woman and a guy having breakfast at a diner.
The guy that slit his own throat.
Right. We find that out. Yeah. We're like, oh, wait a minute. And then we find out that the girl was not the prisoner, but the prisoner. Like, it was the doppelganger of the prisoner.
The prisoner we meet later, she was the one that was having breakfast in the diner, but it wasn't her. It was after she'd already been doppelganged.
Yeah, because she said that he kept it up and kept it up and kept asking her out. And so finally she said, I'll meet you for breakfast. She goes, but I never did. I never showed up. And she's telling that story, saying that she never showed up, while we're cutting to watching the two of them have sex. And the doppelganger woman reaches up and scratches his back. And he's got blood running down.
A pretty good streak of blood.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So that seems to be how it is transmitted, passed along.
Somehow she scratches them and gets their DNA and gets it in her system, I guess.
Or his.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know.
But now we've got a little bit of lore that could possibly be.
You really just kind of summed up the whole episode pretty quickly.
Yeah. I mean, it was a good episode.
But it was a great story. It really was X-Files-ish.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, the way they told the story, the way the story unfolded, they did a great job, and it was really kind of X-Files-ish. They did take a long time to tell the story that you kind of summed up pretty quick, but they did a great job with it.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of stuff happening on the side.
Yeah.
You know, there's that guy who still has the rash on the back of his neck, and still don't
like,
know what's going on with him.
He killed a deer and went through it someplace, and then bought all kinds of, like, camping and living gear, and went through it in this pile again.
Yeah.
And then the investigator there, Holly, she follows the nurse from the nursing home home.
And gets maced.
Gets maced. And then she's like, I'm not a reporter. I'm a private investigator. I'm trying to – and she talks to her. And basically, there was some sort of, like, evidence in the old man's room.
Mm. Yeah, I can't remember exactly what she said, but there was something in there that, like – prove that he wasn't there. But she had a postcard, we found out later, where he had said, I met a girl. Oh, it was postmarked when he was supposed to be committing the crime.
Yes.
And it was postmarked from the trip that he was on.
Right.
And
it was sent to this nurse that Holly goes and meets.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because they work together.
Yeah.
Which was... You know, it kind of clears him, but he's already killed himself. So
right.
This
woman in Holly goes to Harlem, meets with this woman who explains to her that she thinks that the suspect is a supernatural, like, boogeyman who feeds on the suffering of the victims and their families. Because she points out that, well, not only does the person who gets accused of the murder and goes to prison suffer, but look at their family, how it's affected. And we see that in all the episodes. Like
people committing suicide, people killing the people who are responsible.
Yeah.
Or even family members. Like the female prisoner, she goes, did you hear what happened to my uncle and my father?
Yes.
And they were eating at that restaurant, and the guy walks in, and he goes, hey, are you so-and-so? Yeah. That's the grandfather of the guy that she killed, the kid that she killed, and then shoots them both in the head.
Yeah.
And then just sits down at the table and waits.
Yep. Yeah. So it's pretty interesting.
Yep.
The boy that – the guy, the kid that carjacked the van comes forward talking to Ralph, admits that he saw the man take the parked van in Dayton, but he was afraid to talk about him. And he draws a picture of him, and it kind of looks like the guy in the hooded figure with a melted face. Yeah.
And Jason Bateman's wife is interviewing a tutor.
Yes.
Who, you know, has three different letters of reference that all say that she was wonderful, couldn't have been better. One's from Alabama, one's from Mississippi, one's from Florida.
Yep.
And she goes, but why are all three postmarks from Georgia? What? You think you're the first one to try to get in here? And basically she's another reporter. And she's like,
I want to tell your side of the story.
Yeah, I can help you with this. I can get the good press.
Yeah. It was interesting. It was a good episode. It was from after the first episode, this was the best episode that they'd done.
Mm-hmm.
I think this is, if you put them in order of good, you'd be 1-4 and then probably 2-3. Yeah, I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it thoroughly. I'm really looking forward to watching last night's episode.
Yes, I am as well.
I did watch the October Faction.
How many episodes?
One.
Okay.
Because we said we're going to do one a week.
Yep.
I tell you what, I fucking wanted to watch another episode.
Like, I know.
Straight away. Just like, I was not satisfied from episode one. I don't feel like. It was like, what, 45 minutes?
But you weren't satisfied as in you just wanted more.
I wasn't satisfied.
Like, this is terrible.
I wasn't satisfied because I didn't get enough. I wanted more straight away. Like, I was like, nah, they didn't tell us enough story.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. You get just enough for it to be kind of mysterious, but also cool. Okay, tell me. Did you think that the parents were going to die?
Yes.
Yeah. I did too. I legitimately thought that they were going to be like chilling in the car afterwards and then like a truck would take them out or something. And, you know, now the kids would be on their own and they'd have to be in this world. Nope.
Yeah. Live. We have what? Fred and Dolores Allen. Mm-hmm. And
Fred likes the F-bomb.
He does. And he likes to let Dolores loves to drive.
Mm-hmm.
We basically meet them and essentially the beginning of the episode. He's like, oh, my dad died. She's like, oh, that's too bad. Yeah, we got to go back. Damn it, this is going to suck. Da-da-da. She's like, well, don't go soft on me now. And then all of a sudden, she, like, shoots some monster.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's the opening credits.
Yep.
And then we don't see anything supernatural related whatsoever for a very long time.
Correct.
And it's...
I mean, unless you count, like, when they're doing the inventory in the house and they've got...
Well, yeah, it's clearly there's something weird going on. Yeah.
Yep.
But, you know, they go back to the house, and it's Fred and Dolores, and it's their two twin kids that are 17, and they're just settled into a good school in Japan, and then they talk Chinese to each other as well, and...
Japanese.
Oh, they're talking Chinese.
Oh, okay.
And Japanese. Okay. Yeah, but the sister was talking Chinese, and the kid...
Oh, that's right, because he made a comment about that.
Yeah, and the son was learning Japanese, and he learned it from watching, like, Golden Girls or something.
Mm.
Yeah, and they go to their grandfather's house, and... It
turns out that everyone in the town knew him.
Yes.
Everyone is there for the funeral, but mostly because they want money.
Yeah, because he somehow supported the town,
mm-hmm.
and he had a tremendous amount of money.
Yep.
But also, like, the Allens are having... They were on the... I don't know, they were part of the first people to come to America and founding the country, and then they apparently have... generations of hunters.
Mm-hmm.
The long and the short of it, generation of hunters.
Mm-hmm.
But instead of like supernatural, whether their own hunters, it's like they're part of a consortium of hunters.
Yep.
And we find out that something happened with Fred's brother when Fred's like a teenager.
And get a lot of clips of it.
Yeah. And essentially his brother's dead. Fred was there.
Fred was never supposed to be part of the Hunters Guild.
Right.
You know, dad always liked the brother better.
Yeah.
He was the stronger one. He was the one that was going to go on. And
Fred was dating Dolores.
Mm-hmm.
And they basically run away together. And they join up with the hunting society. But he essentially never comes home again.
Right.
Till his dad dies. And we just basically almost see, like, other than when they... that brief moment at the beginning... where a monster's kind of killed, and we just get a flash of them. And then when they're doing the inventory on the house with all the weapons and the hidden computer and all this and this, and we're shutting this unit down and shipping everything to New York and on, it's your typical family angst, kid angst shit, dealing with, you know, being awkward and the new people in town and a loved one, well, someone dying and having to deal with all the shit from them dying and on and on and on, and then, you know, the wake and the funeral and all that other shit going on, and then the son getting drunk, and, you know, the mom coming back to the house who had left years ago, and clearly son doesn't really care for mom, and mom hated dad, and
by son, you mean the grown-up.
Fred Allen, father, yes. I'm sorry, yes. When I say son, the father to the teenagers, but the son of the guy that died.
Yep.
I mean, it's all your typical family, like, drama shit.
Mm-hmm.
And then they go to the grocery store because they needed to get some more booze and stuff. And then all of a sudden, while they're there, it's like, you smell that? Yeah, I do. Let's go look around.
What was it? It was like sulfur and...
copper.
Yeah.
Yeah. And there's these fanged beings. We don't really know what they are.
Yeah. They have needle-like teeth.
Yep. But they're there, and you see them like, oh, it looks like they found a victim. And the two people follow the clerk out back, and then... You know, the Allens follow them out back, and they split up and look, and Fred meets up with the guy, and they kind of have a good conversation back and forth.
They did. Now, remember, they found an old joint in the car.
Yes.
So they're also a little baked right
now. They are, that's right. and they're having a good conversation with each other, and the guy's like, you can just let us go. Nah, I really can't, though.
Yeah.
And I almost,
it's like, look, we'll go to another town. You'll never see us again.
I mean, we're vegetarians. We don't really kill people anyways. That guy over there with his neck drawn open, hanging from the hook, begs to differ. Mm-hmm. Well, he had heart disease and diabetes, and he wasn't taking care of himself. We did him a favor. His family, exactly. You know, we did him and his family a favor, you know. And it really felt supernatural-esque and reference to, like, the early seasons especially, where, like, oh, you're not human, you're different, you have to die, period.
Right.
You know what I mean? And this guy's kind of making the case like, yeah, we're not all bad. Our kind's being wiped out. Almost kind of like Grimm. Like, and Grimm, initially you think like all the Grimms are bad. Not the Grimms, but all the
Vessen
are bad. So they have to be killed. And then you learn, oh, no, there's good Vessen and bad Vessen. Mm-hmm. So it's okay. Whereas in here, it's straight away, it's clear like, well, you're not human, you're different, you have to die.
Yep. Meanwhile, Mom doesn't have a conversation with the other one. Does a cool thing where she grabs a towel, wraps it around the barrel of the gun, so that
it makes a mock silencer.
Yeah.
We hear, and then, oh, the two guys are having the conversation, and all of a sudden, his head kind of explodes, and blood gets all over Dad.
Well, because he's about to attack Dad.
Yeah.
You know, Dad's like, and he kind of like falters for a minute, and then the guy like rears up, his teeth come out, and he goes to get Dad, and then, yep, head explodes.
And then now they have to, like, cut the bodies up and haul them out of there and throw them in the trunk. And then I like, she goes, like, oh, do you think we covered up enough? Yeah, well, you cut the bite marks out of his neck and like, carved a pentagram in his ass.
Yeah.
Da, 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 da. So it definitely looks like a satanic killing.
Exactly. So obviously they've done this number of times.
On the other side of things, you know, we have the kids, the brother and sister, the twins. And we have the girl who's not, she's not really antisocial, but just not
very introverted.
Introverted, yes. And we have the brother who's gay.
Mm-hmm.
And the brother, essentially, the kind of sticks the sister in like, oh, let's do it. You know, she can do a seance. She's awesome at them and this and that. And we find out that the kids don't know what Mom and Dad do. Right. They don't know the family business,
yep,
essentially.
And I think it's insurance.
Yeah. And so sister goes off to do a seance and has a connection, and something happens. She makes all the other kids' nosebleeds.
With female Jason Voorhees.
Yeah.
Basically. I say that because, you know, she's underwater, chained down.
That's true. That's true. Yeah, yeah.
Freaks herself out.
Makes all their nosebleeds, and then it's, all of a sudden she's, like, possessed by a girl who's chained up under the water, like you said, and this girl starts to seem like she's drowning, but she does get free,
mm-hmm,
while brother's off getting a blowjob from a undertaker.
Yeah.
Basically one of the mortuary workers.
Yep.
So it was
yeah, it was interesting because sister was drowning,
yeah,
while this girl was drowning. And then when the girl breaks through to the surface of the lake or,
yeah,
whatever.
Wherever it was,
you know,
yeah,
sister can start breathing again.
Isn't that essentially how it ended?
Yeah, that was pretty, yeah, much it.
So I really, really enjoyed it, and I really wanted to watch more straight away, but I didn't.
Good.
I held off.
Good.
Because we have Lock and Key coming this Friday, so
I know.
Yeah, that's good. It's going to be tough.
Yeah. But, I mean, we just lost Perfect Harmony and The Good Place, and
yeah,
I know that they're going to be Arrow's gone.
Yeah.
You know, I know that Flash and Legends are coming back, but, you know, the shows are going away. And, yeah, I looked it up on IMDb, and it says This Is Us is the 18th, so I don't know.
Oh, cool.
There are only two other shows that I watched this week. That would be Picard and You.
Did you mean the first episode, or you watched the second episode of Picard?
Of Picard?
Yeah.
No, the first episode, because I was going to talk about it if you had actually watched it.
All right, so I know you sent me that link about how you can, like, they're letting people watch it for free, and I chose not to.
Okay.
And the reason why I chose not to is because I'm not going to get CBS All Access right now. And I think I just want to wait until the whole series is up there and I buy that month and I can just watch the whole thing then.
Okay.
I think that's what I decided I want to do.
All right.
Talk about it if you want, though.
No.
Well, no, I mean, well, in vagueness.
I did last week.
Oh, that's true. You did. And you said you really loved it.
I did.
Yeah.
I loved it. So.
I do want to watch it, but I just decided, you know what? I don't want to cock tease myself right now with that. Because, I mean, do you feel like you want to watch more, like, now?
Mm-hmm.
Are you going to get CBS All Access?
I have access to CBS All Access.
See? So you are going to watch it more. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that's all I'll say about that. But
well, that's fine. I don't care.
But yeah, it was enjoyable, and I will soldier on because, I mean, yeah.
Yeah.
It's going to be an enjoyable show.
Good. I look forward to watching it someday.
So that just leaves me with you.
Yep. I watched episode 5. Have a good Welkind.
The Welkind.
So, all right. I don't want to say I hated this episode, but I really wasn't a huge fan of this episode. I feel like the first 4 were so good.
Yep.
And then this was just kind of like, what the fuck am I watching?
There were 2 things that really kind of dragged me out of this episode. One of them more so than the other.
Okay, go.
The first part was the whole Welkind thing and having to have that forced interaction with Candace. One thing that was cool about this episode is we finally found out what happened
with Candace. We got the backstory. Yes, that was the best part of this. Joe and Candace backstory.
Because
yes.
We had seen basically that Candace had walked out on him.
Yeah.
Well, this part we saw was he chased her down the alley.
Yeah.
And grabbed her, knocked her out, and took her, tied her up in a van, drove her out into the middle of nowhere. And when she came to, he was like, okay, don't scream, don't scream.
Yeah.
We just need more time together. So I brought you to that place where we had that picnic. And then I brought all of your favorites. So we're going to have a picnic and you're going to remember how much you love me. And she, you know, played along. She's like, okay, you're right. You're right. He unties her and she goes to run away. And
he chases her down pretty easy.
Yeah. Yeah. She was not prepared for this. He's a fairly athletic guy and he chases her down and he's doing the, you know, you've got to come back to me. And trying to convince her and slams her head into a log. And what he thinks, he killed her.
Yes. Which I wonder if this was his first kill, which made killing easier after that.
Right.
But the reality is, because I feel like, because basically, go ahead and tell him what happened. Sorry.
She basically wakes up. Buried alive.
Yeah, he buried her in a shallow grave, yep. Which the Joe we know now wouldn't have done that.
Nope.
So I'm wondering if this was his first kill, because since then, every person he's killed very efficiently.
Yep.
Even when it was by accident or spur of the moment, he still killed efficiently.
Yep. Cleaned up his mess, yep. Took care of things. I mean, look at what he just did with Hendy.
Right.
You know, he actually, like, dabbed up all the blood that would have been smeared. So, yeah, she wakes up in a shallow grave and goes to the police station.
Oh, I had a hard time with this part.
Yeah.
Because basically she shows up and she's like, hi, my boyfriend kidnapped me, brought me out in the middle of nowhere, knocked me in the head, and then buried me alive, leaving me for dead. Do you got any evidence?
Yeah, they're like, do you have
proof? You got any proof?
It's going to be hard for us to investigate. Got anything on your
phone? And she's like, no, he has my phone. Yeah, we're not really able to look into this one. My advice off the record, if he thinks you're dead, just stay dead. No, this was bullshit garbage.
There's not a credible police department out there that would give that kind of advice or refuse to investigate a girl who clearly looks like she just dug herself out of a shallow grave.
Yeah.
And has a head wound.
No backcountry Mayberry fucking police department. In fictional world or in the real world, this is going to happen. It's not going to happen.
And this is... I know she said that it's a small department, but this is still upstate New York.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah, I had a problem with that as well. But it was good to see the backstory and know why Candace hates him so much.
But I think they revealed too much. Not only did they reveal the backstory, which they would need to finally, but because they had so much forced interaction together at this wellness weekend, because Candace went as Amy, as 40s.
By the way, that's Welkind.
Welkind, yes.
Wellness weekend.
Yeah, sorry.
Yeah.
Candace went as Amy, as 40's girlfriend or new love interest, mm-hmm. Who's a movie producer.
Amy Adam.
Yeah. I like how he goes.
Totally not Googleable.
Yeah. I like how. Well, and then Amy recommends that basically Beck's book.
Yeah. She's given away a lot. She tells how she found him, which was basically the whole thing that happened at Henderson's place that night when 40 was waving the knife around and people caught it on video. And she saw some clickbait and watched the video and saw him show up in there and then knew to go find 40 at South By.
Yeah, that was dumb. That doesn't make any sense. Well, not only that, but like essentially Jill calls Ralph's like, you have nothing.
Yeah.
And after we just see the police get told that she has no evidence, no proof.
Yeah.
We see Joe say to her, well, basically, like, you haven't made a move because you have no move to make.
Yeah.
So you want to torture me and make my life miserable? Go ahead and try. But you have no move to make. Nothing had happened. She's like, you know what, Joe? Murder seems to follow you. I'll just bide my time. And then, of course, and then 5 minutes later, did you guys hear? Looking at Hendy's suicide like it was a homicide. Oh, that's crazy, Joe. Sorry. Yeah. Will, murder seems to follow people.
Yeah.
It was just,
It was, things were tipped a little bit too much in one episode.
Yeah.
It was too much of the tipping of the scales. It was a bad enough weekend as it was. Whatever. Yeah. And how basically Forty's parents think he's a piece of shit, which, you know, he kind of is. Well, he hasn't given him a reason not to think that.
He is a piece of shit.
But Dad, essentially, like, he keeps trying to get Dad's attention. Dad, at one point, is just like, yeah, I can't deal with this. Get away from me.
Yeah. Yeah. And well,
because Forty is basically trying to get $100,000 out of him to make his movie. And he's like, go get a job. Do something with your life.
Like, I'm tired of just giving you money to fulfill these fantasies of yours. Just try and accomplish something on your own for a change.
Yep.
Which isn't, you know, I don't necessarily disagree with it.
No. So then Ford hits the crack pipe.
Yeah.
And this was also annoying because, you know, it's like he gets a Postmates of Taco Bell. And then Joe goes and tells Love, he's like, you know, yeah, I just got done having a chalupa, and so I feel sick. And she's like, wait, he got Taco Bell? He always gets Taco Bell right before he relapses. You know, Joe's right when he says to her, he's like, you're way too invested in your brother's life.
Yeah.
You know too much about this shit.
But then we see why, because everything that Forty does wrong, the mom blames on Love because she should be taking care of her brother. That's her one job.
Yeah, and the mom cuffs her.
And even slaps her in the face like they're kids.
Yeah.
Not grown-ass adults.
Yep.
I think Love's going to kill someone. If not her mother, her brother, somebody. I think
she already has.
Maybe.
Remember, she's a widower.
That's true.
We still haven't found out, because he got sick, but maybe it was a Munchausen's by proxy thing, and she made him sick. I don't know.
Joe's got something wrong with her.
Yeah.
She's not a normal person. She's got, basically, they're making us think that she's got some mental health issues of her own she's dealing with. Maybe some psychoticness or whatnot.
Yep.
But she definitely either has killed someone or is going to kill someone.
Now, the part of this episode that was even worse for me than all that was how disjointed it was that they shoehorned in what was going on with Ellie and Delilah.
Oh, yeah.
Because we have this whole Welk end. It should have just stayed there. It should have been what was happening there. And then we could come back. Exactly. We could come back to L.A. and see what happened with them. But no, every now and then we just have to cut to the two of them. First, they hate each other. Oh, you can't tell me that Hendy did that. It's not true. I won't believe you. He was a good guy. And then steals the pictures, you know, the Polaroids. And then Delilah snatches them back away from her.
I just didn't want to believe it.
Yeah.
But you're right.
You're right. And now nothing will ever change the way that I feel about you. So instead of giving these to the police so that they can mount some kind of offense against him, let's chop them up and flush them down the toilet. What the fuck is that all about?
Yeah, let's...
Oh, first let's burn them. Oh, no, they have carcinogens in them.
Yeah, we can't burn them, so we'll cut them up into big chunks and flush them. What? We don't want people thinking, well, if you think about it, you know, Handy didn't really do anything wrong. He just took pictures of girls and half undressed while they were after he drugged them. We don't want people to think he was a bad person. Yeah, you do.
Yeah.
He was a bad person.
Exactly. Yeah. Like, there was not a lot about this episode that I liked. I did laugh out loud when he first saw Candace and he was just like, fuck.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Hopefully it goes back to the good format.
Yes.
Following. Yes. Until we got this episode.
Yep. I agree.
I did watch a couple episodes of Adam Ruins Everything.
Oh, good.
They put a collection of episodes on Netflix.
Nice.
The one that stands out to me right now is Adam Ruins Restaurants.
Mm.
And now I don't want to tip people anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Isn't it terrible?
It really is. Yeah. Yeah. It was an excellent episode.
Most of his episodes are really good.
Yeah. And I did, like I told you, I think I messaged you this, but we didn't talk about it. I watched the first couple episodes of Schitt's Creek.
Mm-hmm.
I had tremendous issues with Chris Elliott's character in the first one, as far as I couldn't stand him to the point where it was almost ruining the show for me. Mm-hmm. I did watch the second episode. It got better. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, how does this... It's like, if this is going four seasons, these people aren't leaving town. They're going to become in part of five seasons. Okay. They're going to become part of the town and intergrain, you know, and put themselves in with the town. So maybe the campiness is going to go away a little bit, but...
And they do grow and evolve as characters.
Thank you, grow and evolve. So I will, I might try to keep watching it. I don't know. It's
I've been enjoying the hell out of it. It's funny.
I just don't have the time.
I'll be talking to people who I would never expect.
Yeah.
People at work or friends. And I'll just be like, oh yeah, I've been watching more Schitt's Creek. And they're like, I fucking love that show. Like out of the blue. People I wouldn't even expect. And they're just.
I offhandedly mentioned Doctor Who to Jay the other day, and he had no idea I liked Doctor Who. I'm like, seriously? How do you not know? Like,
right.
It just seems absurd, because he's a huge Doctor Who fan. I mean, he was sober when we went to Rhode Island Comic Con. So, yeah. I'm not sure what happened there. Did you watch any other shows?
No, that was it for shows.
Movies?
I watched one movie.
I watched a movie. What'd you watch?
I watched Jojo Rabbit.
How was it?
It was phenomenal.
It was. So, okay, yeah. It did live up to
Regal's doing this thing called BP20, well, they were this past weekend, and it's Best Picture movies. But they're only at specific times. So,
yes.
This was 7 p.m. on Friday.
Yep.
I was considering seeing Parasite, because I've heard so many good things about it.
I do want to see that one, yeah.
But it was noon on Saturday.
Yeah.
Like,
eh. Bad time.
Yeah. But Jojo Rabbit was phenomenal.
Nice.
I don't want to give too much away because it really needs to be seen.
It's going
to
be on Netflix. Not Netflix. It's going to be on Redbox next week, I think.
Oh, nice.
Or the week after.
It's I know very Knives soon. Out is coming to Redbox.
Yes. I'm very... Did you see that yet?
I did not.
Okay. I plan on getting that.
Yeah.
I usually get a Redbox on the weekend, so I'll let you know.
Okay.
In case you want to come over and watch it.
I'll do the broad brushstrokes of Jojo Rabbit.
Sure.
It's Taika Waititi is the director.
Yeah, he's great.
Jojo is a 10-year-old boy... who is a Nazi, and yes. He is a very proud Nazi. It's in the middle of World War II.
I'm sorry. I don't mean to interrupt you, but I'm going to real quick. As if that's the storyline of the movie, and it was phenomenal. You know what I mean? Like, a 10-year-old Nazi.
I know. And he's very, very proud of it. He has an imaginary friend who is Adolf Hitler.
Yep.
Played by Taika Waititi.
Once again.
And
excuse me.
This is at the height of World War II.
Mm-hmm.
They're in Germany, and there's shortly after the movie starts, there is an accident, and Jojo can't be a Nazi now. Well, he can't be in the Hitler Youth Program,
yep,
which is all the kids learning how to shoot and throw grenades and stuff like that. 10-year-olds.
I mean, it seems like fun.
Yeah. So he can't be in that, and he has to stay at home. And this has to do with Nazis, with Jewish people. And with growing up, essentially.
Yep.
It is phenomenal. This movie, I told my sister afterwards, I don't remember the last time that I watched a movie or a show or anything that could take me from funny moments that were, like, legitimately funny. Some of them were slapsticky funny.
Yep.
They had this one scene where, you know, in Spies Like Us, the doctor scene, you know, doctor,
yes.
Doctor. That's it's like that, doctor. Except for everybody saying Heil Hitler to each other.
Yes.
Over and over again, like five different people in a group, and you have to Heil Hitler each one of them.
Yep.
And then every time somebody new comes into the room, they all, oh, Heil Hitler, Heil Hitler, Heil Hitler, Heil Hitler.
Yeah.
And... boy, if somebody came in the middle of our podcast right there, that would be a bad, bad thing for us.
Well, it's just the way you were saying it.
Yeah. So they have jokes like that. They have physical humor. They have some things that legitimately made me burst out laughing. Like, they were so funny. And then there were touching moments in there that like, made me clutch my chest. They were just so heartfelt and so raw. Nice. I mean, there was one thing in there that happened, and it was just like, like kick in the nuts. So I really, really recommend this movie. Like, legitimately, well, it's funny, it's touching. It should be seen.
Dr. Sleep hits Redbox on February 4th.
Okay.
Which is tomorrow.
That was great.
February 18th on Redbox, we get Jojo Rabbit, Midway, A Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood, and 21 Bridges.
Oh, wow.
Four pretty big
movies
all in the same week.
Yeah.
And then on the 25th, we get Knives Out.
Okay. Does it say when Parasite's coming?
Let me check. Do-do-do-do. It says you can rent on demand for $4.99 or buy it for $14.99, but there is no rented at the box date.
Okay.
Because Redbox has an on-demand thing now, part of their app as well. Gotcha. So there is no disc date for it.
Okay. What did you watch for a movie?
I watched Terminator Dark Fate.
Really?
Yep.
What'd you think?
So apparently we're ignoring Terminator Genisys, I guess?
Everything. Terminator 1 and 2 are the only two
that exist. Yep, this is a direct sequel to Terminator 2.
Yes.
I thought they'd retconned everything with Terminator Genisys.
Mm-hmm. They did, but that wasn't James Cameron.
Right.
And now he's taken back over, and he said Genisys doesn't count.
Exactly. So we just have – this is a direct sequel to Part 2. So at the end of Part 2, Skynet has been stopped. It doesn't happen.
Mm-hmm.
However, something still happens. It's called Legion this time.
Oh, okay.
So this is why it's the same storyline, you know, bad guy gets sent back in time, good guy gets sent back in time. It's essentially almost a retelling of the first story,
mm-hmm.
except Linda Hamilton as Sarah Connor's also in this. And I don't want to give it away. Are you going to watch it?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so I don't want to give it away. But
I do have one question that I've got to know.
Yeah.
The Schwarzenegger that we see, is that a dude or is that a Terminator? Or should I not ask? I just – when I see
it's okay.
Are they doing the Genisys thing?
No. So
– is he the one that he was modeled after?
The old man Schwarzenegger we see? Okay. No. He is a Terminator.
Okay.
Yep. He is not the Terminator from Part 1 or Part 2.
Okay.
He is another Terminator.
Okay.
I really enjoyed the flick.
Mm-hmm.
There's some over-the-top action in it.
It's funny. When it came out, a lot of the critics were like, oh, this is terrible, blah, blah. But now that it's been out on video, I'm hearing more from the nerd factions that, you know, actually, it's pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, it is. It's pretty good. I mean, when you're looking at the fact that it's a direct sequel to Part 2, it kind of makes sense where we're at,
mm-hmm.
you know.
I don't know if there's going to be another one, though. This one really didn't do well at the box office.
Well, and the way it ended, you don't. My biggest issue with it, though, is that because Skynet never happened,
mm-hmm.
another AI rose up and took over. It's just essentially saying that, well, if it's not going to be Skynet, it's going to be something else. You know what I mean? It's like,
and
essentially, no matter what happened, it's eventually. Shit's going to hit the fan, and society's going to come to an end because of technology and computers.
And I can kind of see where that's a crappy cop-out. Yeah. However, like, when Terminator 2 came out, that was, like, the 80s?
91,
okay. So a lot of this was science fiction.
Yeah.
Now, where you and I are right now, to say, oh, somebody else built an AI, I totally believe it. Look at Google.
But then it did the same exact thing. It became
the singularity.
You know, okay, let me put it this way. If you watch this, you're not going to go based on how the technology that they used in this movie, you're not going to go, oh, well, they did a good job explaining as to why it happened. You're just going to like, huh.
Oh.
Okay. It basically just, Skynet didn't happen, but something else did, and it just happened in a different, instead of happening.
Oh,
and,
so it's not creative or anything. It's just.
No, it's really not.
It's more of a cop-out.
It's just like, well, it didn't happen in 1997. It just happens now in 2042.
Gotcha.
And the evil Terminator, if you will, is similar but cooler.
I've seen the previews, so he can exist outside of his exoskeleton or his endoskeleton.
Yeah, okay, I'll just say it then. It's the Terminator is a liquid Terminator, if you will, like T-1000 was, like Robert Patrick's Terminator.
Mm-hmm.
But he also has a exoskeleton.
Endoskeleton.
Endoskeleton, yeah, sorry, because exo would be outside. He has an endoskeleton as well, and they can kind of coexist independently, but not. When he's outside the endoskeleton, he's not as powerful. But he's still powerful.
Makes sense.
Yeah. And, yeah, Mackenzie Davis's character is altered human, but human.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, I saw that in the previews as well.
There's some cool little comedy bits in it.
Okay.
Like, it's not the unintentionally funny. It's, like, supposed to be funny. So, and of course, you get Sarah Connor saying, and you get Arnold Schwarzenegger going, Sarah Connor, which is hilarious.
And then in the preview, she says, I'll be back.
Yeah. And then you get Schwarzenegger saying, you know, I won't be back.
Gotcha.
In this one, which is,
yep.
So, but yeah, no, I liked the flick, but I don't see how they could do a sequel, quite frankly. Okay. The only way they could do a sequel is kind of like they did with Terminator 2, which is send another Terminator back in time to stop who they want to stop.
And this time it won't be Legion, it'll be something else.
Well, no. Well, I'm not going to ruin it.
Okay.
Because when it comes up on HBO, you'll watch it. And you'll
correct.
See. Think, oh, fuck. Think more Terminator 1 ending than Terminator 2 ending.
Oh, gotcha. Okay.
Because like
stopped it for now, but it's still coming.
Yeah, allegedly Legion's still coming. So the only way they could really do a sequel is if we now jump to when shit's hit the fan already, or they just send another Terminator back to stop.
Gotcha.
Yeah. So
speaking of movies on HBO, I haven't watched it yet, but Saturday night premiered Alita: Battle Angel.
Ooh.
Yeah.
I do want to watch that.
I do too. I'm going to watch
that. And now that it's on HBO, I'll watch it.
Yeah, exactly.
Any like news or anything?
Yeah, I got some news and some trailers. The trailers were stupidly disappointing, though.
The Super Bowl trailers?
I didn't even watch those because they were all for movies that I'm already going to watch.
The only new Super Bowl trailer that came out that I can even think of, and I watched it, was the Fast and the Furious 9. But I think that was even released before the Super Bowl. I just hadn't watched it until then.
Yeah. Well, the Disney Plus Marvel shows, the teasers.
Oh, that's
that
right. We got those teasers. That was cool.
It was cool, but it was quick.
The WandaVision one is like, are they in a TV, apparently?
That's what it looks
like. And we got a quick flash of the Scarlet Witch in the Scarlet Witch costume from the comic book, which was cool.
And we had something that looked like Elizabeth Olsen pretending she was one of the Olsen twins.
Yep, and we also got like Elizabeth Olsen in the Brady Bunch house.
Yeah.
So I'm looking forward to that.
I am very much looking forward to that. No, I saw two trailers when I went to see Jojo Rabbit.
Okay.
One's called Downhill. It's got Julia Louis-Dreyfus and Will Ferrell. They're apparently it's a remake of an older movie. They're a couple.
I feel like I watched that trailer and I was like, ugh.
Yeah, it was not that exciting. It had some mildly funny stuff, but basically they're on a ski vacation, but their marriage is dissolving and they're trying to hold it together for their kids. But that's why it's called Downhill, because, you know, it's at a ski resort, but also their marriage is going downhill.
It's a remake of a French movie called Force Majeure from 2014.
Yeah, there you go. And then I saw one for Wendy. And basically, my sister
Peter Pan?
Yeah.
Okay.
My sister and I agreed. We were like, this must have been the pitch. Hey, we should do a Peter Pan movie. Dude, they've already done every Peter Pan movie. Yeah, but we could do something else. What are you possibly going to do that hasn't been done? Let's do the worst thing that we could possibly imagine. Let's make it so the kids are real-life kids, and they suck, and this is going to have pirates that are actually like the pirates from Captain Phillips and shit like that, and it's going to show how real life sucks and everything's terrible. All right, let's make that movie. It looks fucking awful.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, don't watch that movie.
All right, I won't.
You got any trailers?
No. I did send you that someone leaked the test footage from the Star Wars Underground film, or TV show. It's like a 5-minute. The link I sent you was 10 minutes long. The first half was like the test footage they shot.
Mm-hmm.
And then the second half was kind of like behind the scenes of the test footage they shot.
Right.
It looks like it could have been cool.
Yeah. I mean, that was from 2010, so we'll literally never see it.
Right. No. But it was still like, I hadn't even heard that they'd done any test footage of it or anything. You know?
Yeah.
But obviously it was right before he sold it to Disney.
Right.
So, but it looks like it could have been cool.
Yeah. For some reason, they're moving forward on a fifth Lethal Weapon movie.
What?
Yeah. With Mel Gibson and Danny Glover. Mel Gibson's having a bit of a comeback right now, for some odd reason. They also confirmed today that the fifth Indiana Jones movie is not going to be a reboot. It is going to be a sequel. Yay. But I think you'll appreciate this.
Sure.
There's a movie coming out. Now, bear with me here, okay?
Mel Gibson is only 64.
You're going to take offense to this at first, but don't.
Okay.
Okay. There's a movie coming out called Fat Man. And
why would I take offense to that?
Well, because I said you're going to dig this, and then I'm telling you
the movie's called Fat Man. Sure.
Yeah. The story follows a neglected and precocious 12-year-old who gets a lump of coal in his stocking, so he hires Walton Goggins' hitman to go kill Santa, played by Mel Gibson.
Okay, I want to see this.
I really want to see this. He's an unorthodox hitman, and he's got to go kill Santa.
Fair enough. And it's Walter Goggins,
yeah,
which I can get behind him.
Absolutely. This was something that you and I briefly talked about. I sent you that link about the confirmation that Ruth Doctor is real.
Yes.
Ruth Doctor is real.
That's why she got the intro at the end of the credits. It says introducing or the doctor. Yeah.
Yeah. And originally in my note, I wrote down Dr. Ruth is really real. And I went, no, wait, that's a real person. Yeah, so Ruth Doctor. Ruth Doctor is real. They said that it's not an alternate dimension.
Yep.
It's not anything that we had been thinking up till this point. So
I read a headline that said something along the lines of like, the new black doctor in Indian, the master, is really showing the underground or the underbelly of the racism that actually exists in Britain and da 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 da. And I said, I'm not reading this fucking garbage.
I will tell you this, by the way.
Yeah.
The end of this episode of Doctor Who, they say, you know, coming up next time on Doctor Who, and they say only two more episodes until the explosive two-episode season finale. So basically we've got four episodes left. So you've got this one from this week, and then there'll be two more, and then the two-part season
finale. So I have five episodes to watch. Yeah.
Right now you can only watch one of them, but yes.
Correct.
Yeah.
But I mean, so yeah. Yeah, okay, yeah, because we just had episode five. There's 10. I noticed there's 10 episodes listed, and then there's a special listed, but no air date.
Right.
So now is the final two episodes going to be in the same night, I wonder?
I hope so.
Yeah.
Otherwise, we'll be waiting.
Yeah.
Universal Studios and Blumhouse Productions are developing a remake of The Thing, but wait, which will adapt the long-lost pages of the horror classic's original science fiction novel.
Ooh.
Yeah.
I can get behind that.
Yeah, because I know, John Carpenter, classic. Absolutely shouldn't be fucked with, but
well, they made the prequel, remember?
Mm-hmm.
Which I enjoyed, but I'm pretty sure The Thing was not. It was based on the novel Who Goes There. That was written in 1938, and it's a. I think that novel Who Goes There was adapted into another movie as well. Yeah, it was first adapted into The Thing from Another World in 1951, and then John Carpenter's The Thing in 1982, and then the awesome movie titled The Thing in 2011, which was a prequel to the original The Thing.
Right.
You know, it's funny, I get the urge to want to watch those movies every once in a while, both of them, because they're excellent films. I even like the remake or the prequel or whatever. I think both are great.
Mm-hmm.
But that John Carpenter one, that is, it's kind of like Aliens. It's a classic.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, it's almost Aliens in the Arctic or the Arctic or Aliens is The Thing in space.
Mm-hmm.
So that's awesome. I can get behind that.
Yeah. Blumhouse has been doing a great job of things on the horror front.
Oh, it says here in January 2020, it was announced that Universal and Blumhouse are developing a new film based on the new expanded version of the original book, Frozen Hell.
Hmm.
Huh. Okay.
The only other news that I have was Sundance, of course, was going on, and they were having some new movies. This one I have to see as soon as it comes out. I don't know if it's going to come to the theaters or whatever. I'm going to track this one down. But it's called Palm Springs. Have you heard about this one?
I'm sorry. Can we just real quick?
Sure.
To expand on the Frozen Hell thing?
Sure.
The short story the thing was based on was Who Goes There?
Okay.
And it was later, it was only discovered in 2000. It was only discovered in 2018 that Who Goes There was actually a shortened version of the original novel Frozen Hell.
Oh, so that's the extended.
They just found out about it. So Frozen Hell is actually the original novel this guy wrote, and he just released a short version story of it.
Interesting.
Yeah.
And obviously the expanded version was worthy of.
Yeah, it was kind of neat.
Adapting.
Well, here's the thing which makes it neat, and I apologize, but when the person found the original novel, who found it,
mm-hmm.
he put a Kickstarter campaign out there to launch it, to publish it. Because no publishers wanted to publish it, apparently.
Why?
I don't know. But he raised $155,000 of his original $1,000 goal to do an ebook version. So he ended up getting it published, and then it came out January 16, 2019.
Huh.
Yeah.
And now a year later.
Well, yeah, basically.
Blumhouse are like,
We're going to make a movie based on the whole novel. That's really cool. That makes it cooler, I think. Yeah. Because it's not just the lost pages. It's like the lost hundreds of pages.
Right.
Yeah.
The lost book.
Yeah.
Like we got chapter one and now we've got all the rest of them.
So that'd be really cool. It actually makes it even cooler.
Yeah. Now I really want to see it.
Blumhouse is doing a great job. I mean, even the Fantasy Island little short new trailer I'm getting looks great.
I think I'm going to go see that.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Did you buy a year-long membership
for that? Yeah, I had to.
And it was like, what, $250?
No, it wasn't that much.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I don't remember what it was.
Oh, no, it wouldn't be $250. It'd have to be about, I bet it was about $200.
Might have been, yeah. I don't remember, honestly. I just remember that in order to lock into it, I had to do a 1 year.
Oh, okay.
But, yeah.
So, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
So there's a movie out at Sundance, and I really want to see it. It's called Palm Springs.
Yep.
It's got Andy Samberg and Kristen Milioti. Andy Samberg, Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
Yep.
Part of the Lonely Island. And then Kristen Milioti was the mother on How I Met Your Mother.
Yes.
Basically, they meet up at a wedding. They're very petty people. They have sex one night and wake up the next morning and realize that it's the same day again. So it's a Groundhog Day kind of thing.
Ooh.
But Andy Samberg has already been in this time loop for hundreds of thousands of days.
He's
been stuck in this time loop forever, and now suddenly she gets stuck with him. So she's trying to figure it out, and he's like, I've already been here. I've killed myself millions of times. Suicide's not going to matter, blah, blah, blah. And they both, like, they don't give a fuck about life at this point because they're like, well, we're stuck here. What else are we going to do? So I guess they just go, you know, they have fun. It says, darkly amusing contrast to Sarah's shock and confusion. A lot of suicides. So many, he sighs, explaining to Sarah how he knows killing herself won't get her out of the loop. It says, once Sarah gets at Palm Springs, becomes even funnier as the two of them plot ever more ridiculous ways to pass the time. J.K. Simmons is in it.
Nice.
Yeah. So I really want to see that.
Yeah, that sounds awesome.
Yeah. No, I think I'm going to I think Valentine's Day, you know, is a shitty day. It's Friday.
Right.
So I'm thinking that I'm going to go do a double feature of Fantasy Island and Sonic the Hedgehog.
Sonic.
Yeah. I figure it's a shitty day. I'll just get some shitty movies out of the way and I won't pay for either one of them.
Right, yeah.
So I'll basically just go sit there and be like, all right, here's my 7 o'clock movie, here's my 9:30 movie, or 9 o'clock, or whatever. And yeah, that's going to be my Valentine's Day.
Woo! Kate and I are probably going to go out to dinner. I don't know what I'm going to eat, but we're going to figure something out.
Good for you guys.
Well,
good for the couples out there.
You know, we like to go out there and rub it in. No, I'm kidding.
A lot of people do. You know,
it's funny.
You're going to see all the posts on Instagram and Facebook. Oh, I'm the best boyfriend in the world.
It's funny. Like, we went out on Valentine's Day, the first year we were together on Valentine's Day, ironically. It's like, hey, do you realize it's Valentine? Because it's like we went to the Liberal Cup just to have dinner.
Mm-hmm.
And we got there and the waitress said, oh, did you guys have a reservation? I went, for the Liberal Cup? She's like, well, it's Valentine's Day. And I'm like, in my brain, I went, fuck. I didn't even know it was Valentine's Day. And so I look at Kate, who just looks at me and goes, don't look at me. I didn't know. So I thought, perfect. I didn't fuck this up. So we got our table and everything. So now we've just, ironically, we go to the Liberal Cup on Valentine's Day because our first Valentine's Day together, we went out and didn't even know it was Valentine's Day.
Thanks.
So that's why we do that.
Do you have a reservation this time?
We get a reservation every year, and it always seems like we don't really need one. And we don't get gifts or anything because why? But still.
So it sounds like your Valentine's Day is going to be similar to mine, except for you're going to be eating dinner
with with my wife.
Yep.
But, you know, just because we kind of go out ironically now.
Thanks.
Yeah.
It works.
It does work. It works. So.
There's something else that's coming out, though, that I was thinking about seeing. I can't remember. There's a few movies coming out in the next couple of weeks that...
Yeah, I really need to brush up on that because I'm just out of the loop other than 1917.
You know what I'm going to see? I'm going to see Birds of Prey.
Oh, really?
I am. And mostly because I wasn't that interested until I started seeing the early reviews. And it wasn't just like, oh, it's fun. Oh, it's... But they've been talking about how great the action sequences are and comparing them to the John Wick movies. And saying how they are up on the same level as that kind of thing. They're saying that the Black Canary is really good in this. So
people liked Joker, though.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. You know, the critics didn't. The critics didn't like it when it first came out. It was all the fanboys who were like, oh, this is the greatest movie in the world.
I thought we got a Bill and Ted 3 teaser, which I thought they were going to launch the trailer on Super Bowl Sunday, and they didn't.
Mm.
We got this little teaser thing. It's coming out this year in August.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, what was it? Birds of Prey. I can't recall now. I guess it doesn't matter. Movie's coming out. I feel like I'm out of the loop. Oh, there we go. Finally remember what I was going to say.
Small amount of peas.
I guess Best Buy actually put it up too soon, but I don't know if it's April or I think it's April. Star Wars Saga 4K edition, 27 disc, $250 for all 9 movies.
Jesus.
But it's not going to have Rogue One. It's not going to have Solo. But the big rumor is it's going to have the original unedited theatrical cuts of A New Hope.
Oh, so not the ones that Lucas
did. They're going to have those, but as bonuses, they're also going to have, you know, A New Hope,
the real version,
Empire Strikes Back, and Return of the Jedi.
Han shot first.
I'm always shot first. Yeah.
Cool. I'm
not going to buy it.
I'm a huge Star Wars fan. And I can't, like, I don't even buy regular movies anymore. I buy digital stuff, if anything.
Yeah, I noticed that about you. Yeah.
Yeah.
You don't even really buy physical media anymore.
No.
The only thing I really buy now are ones that are, like, I know I can't buy them. Like, not I can't buy them digital, but, like, Summer of 84.
Mm-hmm.
I bought that on DVD because the digital copy was more.
Right.
So I bought it on DVD.
Yeah.
And then even on Black Friday this year, Best Buy Black Friday, I bought one thing.
Mm-hmm.
I bought two things. I bought my daughter The Grinch, even though it's on Netflix or whatever, and I bought Kanan Band of Brothers.
So you didn't even buy anything for yourself?
I didn't buy a single thing for myself. Like, in here, WWE is not even releasing wrestling DVDs of, like, documentaries and compilations anymore like they used to. They'll do a little documentary and they'll throw it on the WWE Network instead. But instead of being, like, a nice, in-depth 2-hour or hour-and-a-half documentary, it's, like, a quick little 20-minute one or 30-minute one. So it's, like, it's just not the quality we were getting.
Gotcha.
And I know why. People aren't buying them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. More and more stuff is
because like
being bought.
WWE doesn't release their stuff in the United States on digital. They put it on the network. You can't buy a digital copy. You have to buy a DVD or Blu-ray. In fact, actually, they've even stopped doing Blu-rays on most stuff. They just do DVD releases.
Wow.
Which seems like a backstep because we're going to that Ultra 4K.
Yeah.
But I don't think people are going to switch to that straight away as quickly because, like, my son wants Midway. It comes out February 18th on DVD, Blu-ray, and Ultra 4K. And he wants Midway. He wants it really bad. The DVD copy is like $15. the Blu-ray DVD is the Blu-ray is 20, the Blu-ray DVD digital combo is 25, and then the Ultra 4K is with Blu-ray and digital is 40. Mm-hmm. It's like, what encourages you to buy the Ultra 4K? Just buy the DVD. And especially if you don't have an Ultra 4K TV.
Well, that's the key, is if you have the ability to play the 4K, then, you know, it's supposedly the best quality out there right now. But there's 8K coming as well. So,
see, I didn't even know that.
Oh, yeah.
But it seems like when Blu-ray first came out, they cost a little bit more than DVD, but not so much that it makes you just want to buy the DVD.
Right.
Whereas now, and I'm surprised, quite frankly, that we haven't gotten some sort of announcement that they're going to phase out DVDs, making new DVDs and just do Blu-rays in 4K. But now they're doing 8K, so.
Right. Yeah.
But it's the same thing when you buy the digital copy. You can buy the standard digital copy for, like, say, on Vudu. Vudu is the perfect example. If you have, you can buy the standard digital copy for, like, $5 or the ultra-high def digital copy for $10. Mm-hmm. So they're even charging more for the higher quality digital copy. So it's kind of weird because when DVDs first came out, it was a cheaper medium than VHS.
Mm-hmm.
And it was it was a higher quality. Well, now we're getting higher quality digital or higher quality home video discs, and it's costing more.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. It's just
same thing with gasoline. You know?
Yeah.
93 octane.
Yeah, it always costs more. That's true. I didn't think of it in that relation, but yeah, oh my God, it's exactly what it is. It's regular, plus, and super.
Mm-hmm.
DVD, Blu-ray, Ultra.
Yep.
Regular, plus, and super.
And I think to your point about DVDs being phased out, you're going to see it be a lot longer before they're phased out. VHS had to be phased out because they were so prohibitively expensive.
And they really were.
And they were cumbersome, and it was hard, you know. Now that they've got this digital technology, like a manufacturer to put something on a DVD versus a VHS, I mean, they had to have two different assembly lines. They probably had to have two different factories.
Probably.
Whereas with this, it's like just encode this disc with that.
Yeah.
You know, it's,
the disc coding, the burning is interchangeable as far as what, you know, it just depends on the quality you're going to throw.
So it would actually be worse for them because there's still a lot of people who just do the DVD.
But here's my question, and don't hit me, but is 4K really that much better than Blu-ray that you're going to switch everything to 4K?
No. That's why it hasn't been that thoroughly adopted. It's being rolled out slowly.
Yeah.
But it's the same way. Remember when Blu-ray came out and it was the same thing? We've already got DVDs. Why is Blu-ray so much better? Now we just all accept that Blu-ray is the better quality over DVD.
But at the same time, you can buy older Blu-rays on the cheap.
Mm-hmm.
You know, still can go to the dump bin at Walmart or go to Big Lots of Junk and buy Blu-rays
kind
of cheap.
8K was announced, I believe, last year, maybe even the year before, but it was like a pipe dream. And then at the most recent CES, they had some 8K TVs that they were rolling out, but they're still like $12,000, $13,000 for a TV. It's prohibitively expensive.
Yeah.
So it's only for the highest end people. You're going to see that what's going to happen is just like every other technology, the 4K is going to start coming down because 8K will start becoming a bit more regular.
Yeah.
You know, you'll see 8K a bit more often. So 4K will start coming down and it's just all going to balance out again to the point where 4K will be the new Blu-ray. Blu-ray will be the new DVD.
Yeah.
DVDs just, they'll be like a throwaway thing.
It's kind of weird because I remember looking the first time I saw the difference between like the standard and digital, if you will. You know, when we went from, even now, when Kate and I went away last weekend, the hotel we stayed at, they didn't have high definition channels on the TV. Oh,
it's cringeworthy.
It was weird. Like they did, but it was so weird because like they had high definition channels, but because of the I don't know if it was how they split the cable up at the hotel or whatever it was, it didn't fill the screen. Mm-hmm. It left a box all the way around all four sides.
Yeah.
And so it's like you can see the difference between the standard and the high def in that case. But I guess I haven't seen 4K in person to see if there really is that big of a difference between
Blu-ray and 4K.
I don't think there is. I think you could go to a Best Buy and they'll show you, you know, you'll see some TV that's displaying them side by side. Oh, here's Blu-ray and here's 4K. And it'll look good for the thing that they're displaying.
Yeah.
But if you're just straight up watching a Blu-ray or straight up watching a 4K, it's not going to make a difference. You know, you're going to say it's a beautiful movie no matter what. It's just a resolution, you know? And I think if you get right down to it, like somebody out there is probably going to shoot me for this, but I believe if you look at it, Blu-ray is like...
How much...
Blu-ray is like 2K, and 4K is 4K, you know, is what it boils down to.
But once you go from the standard and, you know, the standard... Once you go from, like, standard to digital or high def or whatever, once you hit high def, is the picture... Do you need the picture that more clearer? Because if you think about it, we've talked about this in the past where, like... When they convert some older movies to high definition, it ruins the movies because you can see how bad everything is. Mm-hmm. Whereas some older movies, like for instance, like Evil Dead, you want to watch that in the original format it was filmed and made to be presented in.
Yep.
You don't want to have a big zooming crystal clear because it wasn't shot that way. Right. And I don't know. I guess I don't know. It's curious. We haven't really talked about it.
It's the same way that, I don't know, you get a bigger TV or you run a high def cable, you know, you get an HDMI cable versus the old composite cables, stuff like that.
Right.
You know, it's the same way, like, I do a lot of gaming and you'll see people out there who will, they want higher frame rates.
Yep.
You know, this game only runs at 30 FPS. I want it locked in at 60 FPS. Okay, that's great. It's a little less tearing. It's a little smoother transitions when you're going around a corner. I totally get it. However, there are limitations to the frames that a human eyeball can take in.
Yeah.
You know, we can only take in, I think it's like 24 frames per second or something, which is why a lot of times when you see video of cars, it looks like their
tires moving backwards.
Yeah. Because it's the disparity between what you could see and how fast it was filmed. Anyway. But yeah, like
it's a great example, by the way.
Yeah. you buy a new TV.
Yeah.
It's going to be a better picture quality these days, you know, versus what you had 10 years ago. When I upgraded my Pioneer, you know, it was a plasma TV and it was phenomenal quality. And then I got my new Samsung and I went, God damn, that was not great. Yeah. It wasn't garbage, but it was just, it's a huge marked improvement.
It's like going from I had my Samsung I bought in 2012, and then in 2018, I bought my smart TV.
Mm-hmm.
The first time I had to buy another one in fucking spring of 2019. But anyways.
There'll be another one that you'll have to buy soon.
Yeah, probably. Well, I had to buy the second one because the kids broke the screen on
That's
the first
why I
one.
Said you'll have to buy this one too.
But anyhow, the point I'm saying is like, it was one of those things where I had my Samsung, I didn't really notice. And then as soon as I got the new smart TV, I was like, holy shit.
Yep.
I didn't realize how degraded my picture quality was.
Yeah.
But you get used to it.
You do.
And you and I are still from a generation where we had a rabbit ear on our TV where you could get a partial signal and you just moved it till that's close enough. I can see what's happening.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. You
know, there's a little bit of snow on the screen, but I know what's going on.
Yep.
So, I like these kids today. I'm convinced that my youngest son, Wesley, is never going to watch regular TV because he is a YouTube kid.
Yeah.
Actually, my older kids are even watch more YouTube than they watch regular TV.
Yeah. I don't know that I approve of it. I mean, there's a lot of cool stuff on YouTube, but there's a lot of garbage.
Yeah.
And it's a rabbit hole. You know, you start watching one thing and then you click on the next link and
It's weird. Like, Kanan likes to watch movies, don't get me wrong, but they would still, and I don't even get this, he'd rather sit there and watch Disney Plus on his laptop than while he's laying in his bed, so he can lay in his bed and watch on his little screen, than, I don't know, rotate his head to the right and look at the 32-inch TV he's got in his room. You know?
Yeah.
Or he'll hook his Xbox up or his Nintendo Switch to the 20-inch TV that he's got propped up on the end of his bed. Instead of sitting in a chair and playing on his 32-inch TV. Like, I don't even understand that. My daughter's the same way. Like, my daughter, she's got like a 20-inch TV in her room. It's fine for the size of her room.
But I don't have to feel bad about it because, like, she just sits in her bed and watches her phone. And then when her phone battery died and for whatever reason the charger was telling her she had moisture in the charge port, so she couldn't charge it, she's like, "Will you – my TV's not working with the internet. Can you fix it?" I was like, "Yeah." So I go up there. I go, "What do you want to watch?" She goes, "Hulu." And I'm like, "Oh, okay." Well, she has like an old Sony Blu-ray player. And it's smart, and I get the internet hooked to it, and Netflix was there, and I click on Hulu, and Hulu was disconnected in August of 2019. Mm. So they don't support the new Hulu app on it anymore, so it doesn't even work. Because it's August. It's February. She didn't even notice. She doesn't watch her TV. Like, when I was a kid, I had a 13-inch TV in my room. If I had the option to watch that or watch a 4-inch screen on my phone, I'm going to watch the 13-inch TV in my room.
Well, you didn't have that option when you were a kid.
I'm just saying.
I think for a lot of them, it's the portability, too. It's the fact that, you know, you can just get up and go to the shitter with your phone in your hand, sit there, pretend to take a dump, and continue watching your show.
Yeah. Yeah. You know? No, that's actually probably a very valid statement.
Mm. But portability is a big part of it. Yeah. You know, watching it on the laptop versus the TV, you know, laptop you can just take with you. You can, you know, pause it, walk into another room. You can do that with Hulu, though.
Yeah.
You know, and some of these others. You could just watch it on your laptop, pause it, boot it up on your TV, and it's right there. Oh. I kind of got off on a rant there.
Yeah, that was a good one, though. Yeah. All right. Holy shit, that's a long episode.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not our longest.
Well, on Twitter, I'm Superstar Mal.
I'm the Quantum Geek G33K.
And that's for sure.